Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
That is indeed what we do, Dan.
That is our modus operandi.
Dan, if there was some sort of, like, okay, so if you were going to see the new Star Wars film.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Which you just did.
It is amazing.
Right?
It's so good. But if there was, like, you know, you're not too interested in Star Wars.
No, not
That's
really.
That's not really your thing.
It's for nerds.
So what if I told you there was...
I don't believe that at all. Just...
So what if I told you there was a hook, though?
To Star Wars.
Yeah, even if you weren't interested in Star Wars as a whole, this movie has a hook.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, John Popper is in it?
This movie has... all Blues Traveler as the soundtrack.
Oh, my God.
The entire album.
I am in.
Yeah, exactly. See, now, just like that hook, so do we have a hook, and that is...
I know a lot about Alex Jones.
I don't know a goddamn thing about Alex
Jones. That is correct. So, guys, we're going to be jumping in. What we're going to be going over is last week, Friday's episode.
Right.
Of the Alex Jones program. That would be December 15th, 2017. Some nonsense goes down, and standard introduction. Shit's fucked up.
Can we just pre-record that introduction?
Might as well.
That way,
point.
That'll save you some time editing.
Yeah, the audio
just drop it in there. Yeah, yeah.
Shit's fucked up. So before we get going, here is an out-of-context drop of Alex from that episode.
Jesus loves Satan. Kill your children.
Great. So...
All right.
There's a lot of stuff going on in Alex's world here at the middle of December. Coming on, I would say the 2-year anniversary of him losing his soul.
There we go.
And joining up with Team Trump. Mm. Alex is in a very precarious position.
It gives him a lot of credit for having a soul.
I think he probably did at one point. All humans are, I don't know if souls exist. Let's move on from that. That's not.
No, I think it's time to get into a metaphysical conversation.
Well, theologians would say. Alex,
I would go with William Somerset Maugham, and all right.
You asked me before the show, is this going to be some Roy Moore shit?
Right.
And no, it's not. He's already moved on from that loss, and
meaning everybody but Roy Moore has moved on from the loss.
Oh yeah, I think Bannon's even been like,
dude, get the fuck out of here.
Lost cause. I didn't do that.
Yeah. Now, hey, guess what? Now we all agree you're a pedophile. Surprise! You lost the election, now you go to jail.
Bannon is trying to play the role of Shaggy. It wasn't me. Weren't you boosting for him, like, up to the day of the election? It wasn't
nah,
me.
Nah, I never... I don't know. I would never support a pedophile.
Fool,
that'd
you
be crazy.
Give another woman access to your villa. That's Shaggy's It Wasn't Me. It used to be one of my karaoke jams.
I got it.
All right, anyway.
I think everybody got the Shaggy reference.
Alex, the day after...
And then you double-dipped on the Shaggy reference. That's trouble.
Anyway.
Trying to get that magic
back. To play, I got to know how to play. Anyway. Then the day after the election, the Alabama senatorial election, Alex tried to paint a bunch of very soft narratives about voter suppression against white people.
Of course.
Which is great. And
famous
then,
issue in this country today.
And then he tried to start up a conspiracy theory about them not maintaining the voting records.
Right.
That there was a Supreme Court decision, an Alabama Supreme Court decision, that the Democrats and the globalists were trying to pull, wherein they wouldn't maintain the records
right.
of the voting stuff. But if you really
and they did it brilliantly by first putting all Republicans as Supreme Court justices in Alabama.
Correct.
That's the Democrats' first brilliant move there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Second, fostering a need to suppress black votes.
Yes.
And that's how the Democrats came up with this brilliant plan And what was the result they were going for again?
I don't know. It's so convoluted. It's nonsensical. And I think pretty quick Alex realized, ooh, this doesn't have legs. This is all Republicans who did this.
Yeah.
It was actually the Democrats who were saying maintain the records.
Right.
Be that as it may, he's like, ah, fuck it. So he jumps ship on that narrative. And most of his time since then has been spent on trying to tar and feather Andrew McCabe and Rod Rosenstein. Because
not a bad idea.
Because I think he started to get the reality in mind that like, we're doing a lot of work trying to get Trump to fire Mueller. But even if Trump fires Mueller,
which he can't do,
he can.
No.
I believe he can.
Not legally.
I think he can.
No, it's against the law.
I think he can, though.
He cannot force the he cannot force the Department of Justice to fire a special counsel. That's the whole point of having a special counsel.
I think he can, and I think it would be a massive disaster. But I think he does have the authority to. It would just be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But even if he does, they can just get someone to replace him and keep the investigation going. It's a much better idea to attack the Department of Justice itself vis-a-vis Rod Rosenstein.
Which he appointed.
Right. So
these people are stupid.
Alex is trying to pivot to that, and a lot of the work he's doing is through the discussion of those texts that came out between the FBI agents that were calling Trump an idiot.
The biggest story in the history of the world, people were texting each other that Trump was an idiot.
Right. And it turns out they also were talking shit on Hillary and Sanders, too, along the way.
Of course.
But the more important thing is the reason that they were communicating, this guy Strzok, and I can't remember the lady's name, who were communicating through these work phones.
They were having sex.
Yeah.
They were banging.
They were using those phones because if they used their other phones, they might get caught by their spouses.
Right.
They were cheating.
Right.
So that's really more... I don't really think that there's much compelling shit going on here.
I challenge every Republican politician to release their text messages around the Trump campaign.
Oh boy.
I guarantee they will all have,
Trump's
if
an idiot.
Not the same text, very worse texts.
What are we gonna do?
Yeah, we're fucked, everybody. Yeah. This guy is a fucking moron.
So he spent a lot of time on that, and we don't really need to go over that too much, because I really just don't think that there's much, there in terms of substance. But there is one funny moment that I don't have a clip of, but it bears mentioning. Alex is turning on Paul Ryan a good bit.
Good.
And well, he never really liked him that much, but
at one point,
he calls him the darling of the left.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Paul Ryan.
The darling of
Paul
the left.
Paul Ryan is the darling of the left.
Yeah.
All righty.
So I have two clips.
I guess that means we're allowed to kill the ones we love. Is that how that works?
So I have two clips here from the Thursday show, actually, because I actually cut these clips accidentally. But they're worth it. So I have two clips from Thursday.
Cut clips?
It's a long story.
Okay.
So we'll listen to these and then we'll get into Friday proper. But they're relevant because that whole McCabe-Rosenstein narrative isn't really present as much on Friday.
Right.
But it's been a big part of his last week. So
real quick, before you get into the clip, do you think people have souls?
Look, theologians would say...
The arrogance, the recklessness, the fake confidence that criminals and scum and betas engage in when betas finally get in a man's world and get together as a group of betas and start engaging in criminal activity, they just do things alphas would never do. I keep learning that it's betas who are the ones that get together and commit the really big crimes. And they're all a bunch of chicken neck anti-American trash. I mean, you read their emails, their text. I mean, these are people that have a big, giant you-know-what for America just hate flyover country and hate bitter clingers and hate Christians and just hate everything. I mean, this is a group of garbage. But you've got to be garbage. If people are in your business, which is our country, robbing it, they're going to hate the people they're robbing. It's what criminals do. They always demonize who they're robbing.
Whose team?
And they always
right
think
now?
They're invincible until they get caught robbing.
So they're the good guys?
And then they think threats and intimidation and garbage work on people who are alphas because they're betas and it would work on them. Well, it doesn't work on Trump.
Are we talking about
fish? It doesn't work on America and it doesn't work on me. Make up whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Hit me with your best shot, baby. Fire away, because you are all going to prison.
I think he's projecting a little bit.
I don't understand. Wait, so first thing he says...
All that stuff about betas is about McCabe and Rosenstein.
Okay, sure.
And all the... And Mueller, probably, too.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's all these liberals who are...
I prefer to think of that entire thing as completely divorced from any reality and is just like his philosophy on...
It kind of is.
That's exactly right.
He's espousing some sort of belief in like, you soft pussies,
right.
you're the real problem in the world, not us bully alphas.
Right. And yet at the same time, so they would do things that alphas would never do.
Right.
Which, first question, what are we talking about there?
Well, we're talking about like the remnants and sort of, let's say, intellectual tradition of the men's rights activist communities.
Great,
like,
great.
That's basically what he's operating off
gotcha.
Of. I'm guaranteeing he's just sort of repeating half-remembered things Cernovich told him.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's what he's expressing there.
That
he's
sounds
like,
right.
The betas are the ones you got to worry about. Bleh.
I guess if you've seen Revenge of the Nerds and you're a lady, that's probably true.
Certainly.
They didn't treat them well.
Did not.
And then he goes into how the betas are actually understandable in doing what they're doing because they're watching the country get taken apart. And so they're...
You flipped the teams, I think.
I think he flipped the teams.
Probably.
I think that's my issue here.
I don't think we could ever accuse Alex of being intellectually consistent within a sentence. But what he's saying, I believe, is that these betas, they hate the country because they're robbing it.
Oh, because they...
They're
so
the ones
he,
robbing
so
it.
I have an issue with his pronoun usage. That's what really
Certainly.
Is going on right here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So anyway, this next clip from Thursday, the 14th, is a little bit more troubling because he spends a good bit of the show really just playing clips of Putin. He spends...
That's... I mean, now?
Yeah.
Is now the time?
Here's a clip of this and some dog shit analysis he's going to throw in.
They limit the powers of the president who's been elected. It means that they don't have respect for those people, for those Americans who elected Donald Trump.
True.
And that's it. Vladimir Putin. Your media, your political elite do not respect the American people. They do not respect you. And they're trying to overthrow your will and what you did constitutionally. And we've caught the FBI and the Justice Department working with leftist groups in Russia to try to dummy up fake witnesses. And it's all fallen through. It's not real to frame our elected president.
So he's getting at that, the Christopher Steele stuff.
Okay. What?
Putin is right, according to Alex.
I already assumed that.
The media is trying to disrespect the public, which is great.
I feel like they're not. I feel like we're all trying to disrespect the public that is fucking stupid.
There is that. But it feeds into Alex's narratives about fake news and what have you. And,
of course,
and it turns out that to a certain extent, those are Russia's objectives to begin with. So Alex is really just... now mirroring back what he has already mirrored from Russian sources. So it is this you know those drawings, those optical illusions where there's mirrors bouncing back and forth.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of that. There's this weird visual,
the infinite eye. Yeah.
There's this echo chamber back and forth of like Alex responding to Putin saying things he remembers and recognizes from his own narratives that themselves were mirroring Russian narratives to begin with. So it's very strange
it's
to figure
beautiful.
Out.
I love, there's something that, regardless of how you feel, having the balls, if you are a Russian person, to go on TV and say, they don't respect the will of the American people.
Mm.
That's fantastic.
It's wild.
I think I love that more than the balls on that.
And,
we
and
definitely influence your election with lies and bullshit, and you don't even respect your people. And it's like, but we tried to
drum up extremist opinion and racial tension and all that in order to facilitate a false, truly racist, but false populist uprising.
Yep.
Behind a very easily blackmailable and deeply in debt guy who's surrounded by mobsters. Why don't you respect the will of your people?
And you guys don't even respect them.
Yeah, what the fuck?
We worked so hard to gain your respect.
There is a little
bit. I mean, they did. I mean, what?
Oh boy.
Huh? Hold on.
Pronoun reference.
Who
Pronoun
did I
reference.
Use? Wait, no. Hold on.
So that's most of what I found interesting on Thursday and accidentally cut clips of. There's another part where he's talking with Roger Stone, and he's sort of speculating.
Hey, Roger, you're going to jail, right?
Yeah, I am pretty much going to jail.
Roger does bring up that amicus brief, if you guys don't know, like John Brennan and Clapper and 14 other people signed an amicus brief.
Everybody who knows classified information is like, we're not going to tell you why, but these fucking guys did it.
We know things. We can't tell you why, but Roger Stone's a fucking
asshole. Yeah, I know. Like,
that's basically...
if you're filing the brief in the first place with your classified information, it's very clear you're like,
I
these guys did some shit.
I understand why they do it though. That makes sense to me. You have to protect processes and what have you.
I don't know. Aren't we past that? Like, isn't it about time for
we're not.
Isn't it about time for us to like stop worrying about a lot of those laws that made sense before we had a lunatic in charge?
Maybe.
You know, like, shouldn't the FBI, or no, like, former FBI
it's a bigger,
people.
It's a bigger question, I think.
Just be like, hey, normally we would never do this. It's a bad idea to release classified information.
Well,
we don't know what the response really will be. Also, Trump is a criminal.
But
he communicated with the Russian government to steal our election. Roger Stone is involved. And that means
he is a local cutout.
Yeah.
He is a person who is clearly compromised.
Yeah, exactly.
By process. So is Alex. I mean, Alex even said within the last week, if I was a Russian agent, I didn't know it.
Right.
He's opened up the door to accepting like, fuck, I might have unwillingly done some shit.
Right.
But I still think that even signing
unwittingly, as opposed to unwillingly.
Right.
I think willingly he would have been, if they'd have asked him, he would have been like, I mean, guys.
Wait,
sure.
Wait, you mean Russia is more America than America? I'm in.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah. I think though that what you need to take away from all that is that even just signing that amicus brief is like, is crazy.
Oh yeah.
That like when you say we don't usually do this, but here's the truth. They don't usually do that.
No, of course.
So the fact that they all signed that, is crazy.
See, that's my problem.
That
in
is
for a
unprecedented
penny,
sort
in for
of thing.
A penny, in for a pound, man. If you're gonna file some half-assed thing where you're like, those guys did that shit, you might as well come out and say those guys did that
but
shit.
But these are people who have lifelong careers in national security and in information stuff, you know, like clandestine shit. They can't go against their operating sort of conditioning for their entire life.
See, that's the problem with alphas. We got to get some betas in there because betas will do shit that the alphas would never do.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
So let's get to Friday. Friday is a wild ride. We're going to have a good time until we don't.
Great. You're selling this real strong.
There's a lot of nonsense.
Okay.
My standard
very good, very good start.
Alex starts and spends a lot of the show talking about how these women who are accusing Trump of stuff are liars.
These women with their thoughts.
They're liars. And beyond that, he spends a great deal of time critiquing their appearance.
So we're talking about the women who have accused Trump of sexual assault.
Yes.
And
now,
rape.
Alex will just say that he asked for their phone number. That's what he thinks the whole thing is about.
So wait.
Not what he thinks. That's what he's telling his audience it's
about.
He's
telling his audience that Trump was like, hey, I want to take you out on a date. Like we're in the 1950s.
Right.
I would like your number.
Right.
And I would like your father to accompany us so we both know that no kind of hanky-panky will go down.
Right.
And those women so impolitely said, no, thank you.
Yes. And then beyond that, his further narrative is that everyone's getting paid to lie about Trump. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's start with this first clip where we really get to see where Alex's feelings lie about these women.
He once said, we need to both probably work out a little more. We're both gaining weight. Wow. Okay. What a criminal. Like, it's like one of these women up there that, you know, that says, oh, once at a reception, he said, can I have your number? And I'm not being mean, but I mean, she's not Donald Trump's type. I don't want to call her ugly, but she does looks like a space alien.
That's what you would call an ugly person.
I think it's in the realm of what you would call, it's certainly now like, she's so hot. She looks like, actually, you know what? I might say that about,
I would say, I've said it about John Hamm. He's an alien from space, came down to teach us what real handsomeness is.
Absolutely. I feel like some people have made those as positive, claims, but that's, certainly not what Alex is doing.
No.
And that just continues. Like, he says that over and over again. Just like, these women are too ugly for Trump. Trump doesn't put his dick in stuff like that. That sort of thing. And it's crazy. Like, even if you are a propagandist with nothing, why would you go that route? It looks so bad. It looks like you have nothing.
Because, if you are a white male supremacist, which I would argue 90 to 95% of his audience is.
Yeah.
That idea of like, you're not pretty enough for me to rape you is a threat.
Mm.
It is, and it's been said in the Brazilian parliament, which fantastic. There is a parliamentary, there's a dude who's in the parliament who has been elected and who is part of the fucking, grand old dictatorship that they had before, who famously said to Dilma Rousseff, the prime minister, you're too ugly for me to rape you.
Right.
Yeah. So that to me seems like a signal to those guys of like, well, of course I wouldn't, or of course Trump wouldn't do that. He's much like me insofar as he would only rape pretty women.
I guess that's sort
that's of the, his argument.
Well, because it does sort of imply that if they were more attractive, it would be believable, which means the behavior is believable within Trump if those women were hotter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not good.
No. He's, of course he's a rapist, but only for the pretty women who haven't come forward yet. I mean, no, I didn't mean yet. I meant, oh boy, that's not a good start.
This woman looks like a space alien.
Yeah. Ugly.
So in another attempt to discredit these women, Alex refers to a story that came out in The Hill last week that has to do with some high-powered lawyer who's going around trying to pay women to lie about Trump.
Of course.
And we'll listen to this clip, and then I'll explain why I don't give a fuck about this.
That's what this is, ladies and gentlemen, is that they think they can run around in bars and in law firms and on the streets and go to women in databases of who's worked for Trump, and they come to their doors. Mind if I come in? I'm Democrat such and such, but they got their names right here. And it's like, sure, come on in.
Why hey,
and
Democrat
30 minutes in the conversation, we'll pay you $750,000 to say Trump threw you on a desk and tried to rape you.
That's an arbitrary number.
He did do it, didn't he? They're like, excuse me? But some of them are so whacked out. They're like, well, if it's for the good of the country, you know.
Doesn't seem whacked out.
Oh, if it's for the greater good. You know he's a misogynist and you know all sex is rape. And just, yeah, let's just. Can I get my checkbook out right now? But we own the story. Also, we sell it to the media. But during the interviews, we'll coach you. Listen, it's going to be easy. There's going to be hundreds of women.
Can't even afford it.
There's just going to be one of them. And most women are scared to do it. So they're like, don't worry. We're going to hit them with so many women. The lawyers can't come after them all. Okay. Because these are what is on the tapes. I've been told about them. Wait till they.
So that's not good.
He should not be referencing the tapes.
I've been told about them.
Yeah, that's
also
not good.
Also, you shouldn't be reporting this. It best is secondhand. And he's just making up these lurid details about, like, they come and knock on your door, like, tell them Trump threw you over a desk.
Come and knock on our door.
Right. I mean, like, that's that, even if these tapes are real, even if that's true, that's bad reporting.
Yeah.
I've been told about the tapes.
Eh.
Like, that's not good.
It's not necessarily unusual, though.
It's not.
Not even. Just, you know, I'm not even talking about him. I'm talking about. There are a lot of times where it's like unnamed sources in the government have told me, and you're like, well, that's bullshit.
And that is what he has the right to report. He has the right to report that someone has told me there are tapes. He doesn't have the right to do an improv scene where he riffs the contents of the tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Because that is implying a level of knowledge that he does not have.
Yeah, if you've listened to the tapes, why don't you tell us what's on the tapes?
Also, apparently what these tapes are about is Lisa Bloom.
Lisa Bloom?
Who is the person who allegedly has gone around and tried to offer women money to come out and make up stories about Trump, if you believe that that's what the narrative is and what the tapes are. Here's why I don't give a shit. Whatever Lisa Bloom was doing, I don't think was related to anybody in any official capacity, if this is true. She was the person who was defending Harvey Weinstein when the allegations came out, and then sort of, I got to distance myself. When Ronan Farrow was coming out with his pieces about, when he was working on the pieces about Weinstein.
If I recall correctly, she was not on Ronan's side.
No, she actually offered him opposition research on, like, Rose McGowan and shit.
Great.
Trying to discredit victims preemptively. So I don't really give a shit what she was doing. I think that she has no purchase here in terms of being working for any official the globalists.
Right,
let me
right.
use her to do this dirty work.
Nobody wants to touch her right now.
No. So I don't care. If this is true, then you have a shithead doing shithead things.
Yeah.
You don't have.
You have Project Veritas.
Exactly. Yeah. Just a different version of Project Veritas.
Yeah.
You don't have like a concerted effort by all the anti-Trump forces using Lisa Bloom to do this.
You don't even have a competent effort.
But also, all of these people who are allegedly on tape are not the people who have come forward. So even if Lisa Bloom is running some weird rogue activity, that doesn't discredit the people who have come out already. It only does in shitheads' minds who are like, oh, if that happened, then they must all have had that deal.
That's the whole point that I made earlier is like, why would you do this? We've got more than enough already.
Right. Well, because you're Lisa Bloom.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have a whole lot of respect for her at this point. So Alex is on a hot tip about sexual harassment stuff, and he wants to make sure we talk about all of it except for Trump and Roy Moores. And so he gets to a story out of Kansas City about a representative there, and then he gets pretty misogynistic and then dismissive of harassment in general.
Naturally.
And then a little esoteric.
Perfect.
But meanwhile, breaking up on Infowars.com from the Kansas City Star, Kansas Dem Andrea Ramsey, accused of sexual harassment, will drop out of U.S. House race. Andrea Ramsey, a Democrat candidate for Congress, will drop out of the race after the Kansas City Star asked her about accusations in a 2005 lawsuit that she sexually harassed and retaliated against a male subordinate who said he had rejected her advances.
Good. Goodbye. Go fuck yourself,
I have
lady.
Actually found if you refuse an older woman from her advances and if she has any power over you, that they're more vindictive than the cases I've seen with men against women. But
so you've admitted that both cases happen.
Well, let's remember.
And you are the victim of such a case.
Let's remember that Harvey Weinstein got Mossad to follow women around who he had assaulted.
Yeah.
Like, think about the level of vindictive there. Like, some lady, I looked into this and what the, I'm inclined to believe the guy. I don't know all the particulars of all the details.
She dropped out. Well, yeah. Chances are the guy's telling the truth.
Well, the reason that she dropped out, she still claims some form of innocence.
Sure.
And the reason that she's dropping out is that liberals and Democrats have implemented a let's not take chances policy.
Yeah.
So there's a zero tolerance for people who harass subordinates.
Boy, just in time, right? We got there.
It's great.
Yeah.
Now, I guess. But the situation is there's this guy who worked for her and she had propositioned him and he said he didn't want to bang around.
Right.
And then afterwards, he claims that she wouldn't talk to him at the office and just ignored him and his career suffered because of it. I believe him. But that level of vindictiveness is very bad, but it's not getting Mossad involved.
It's not quite. Although there are, Meek Mill is going to prison for 2 years because of a, rogue sexually harassing judge.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this.
So Meek Mill.
Do you know everything about this?
I know a lot about this. Meek Mill is a very, very talented rapper out of Philadelphia.
I understand there's a lot of beefs in his past.
He has had many a beef.
Yeah.
But he was on probation for way longer than his crime would ever have warranted.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because this judge kept following him around. Like when he was doing charity work, she would show up. She would tell him that he needs to put her name in songs. He needs to do remixes of like Boys to Men songs and reference her.
Wow.
Like there's this whole fucking thing. Every probation officer is like, why has this guy been on probation for 3 years when it was only supposed to be like 6 months to start it?
Right.
They've never seen anything like it in this particular case.
That's crazy.
And he just went to prison for violating his probation.
Which he shouldn't have been on at this point.
Exactly.
Crazy.
And in his capacity of traveling as a very, very talented rapper, performing shows, which he got permission to do from his probation officer and this judge. She then claimed that she never received the email and never signed off on it, even though we have records that she did.
Nuts.
On appeal, Meek Mill will get out, but he's going to be in prison for a while.
And there's a hassle element to it, too. Like,
yeah, and she should
hassle.
Be stripped of her license.
I agree.
Now, that's some vindictive behavior, but it's not hiring Mossad!
Yeah, so anyway, let's finish this clip.
But men do it too, and it's all disgusting power play garbage. Good. And it's just
safe.
It's just something that diseases modern culture, but culture period. But
good, you're getting it.
You compare that on a scale to kidnapping, torturing children, selling them in the sex trade.
Now you missed
films,
it again.
Harassing a woman or a man in your office is about a one. It's wrong. Not good. It's terrible. Compared to torturing and killing kids, that's a 10. And see, we should be worrying about the 10s in this world, and the 9s, and the 8s, and the 7s. And then, if you worried about that type of evil, you'd notice the retail stuff, the common stuff, would start going away.
What?
But we've accepted evil. And evil's like a psychic broadcast. So when it gets more and it commits more, it gets away with it. It winds itself up and it begins psychically diseasing more things around it. It's a
like
psychic
Info
disease.
Wars.
Exactly.
That sounds exactly like InfoWars.
It's projecting a lot.
It is a psychic disease.
Well, I've described the globalist lie, the globalist mythology as a brain virus.
Yeah.
And I believe that's the case. But what Alex is talking about is this really bizarre version of like an understanding of evil. Wherein it's like you take care of the big stuff and the small stuff goes away.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
It's not, and it really underplays and discounts what he's describing as a one. Like, I don't think it's a one. I think, like, petty theft might be a one, or vandalism might be a one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think systematic harassment of people in order to...
I don't want to rank it!
No.
There's no need to rank it.
No, but...
It's a crime.
Sure.
Crime it. And it's a bad one. I don't even think petty theft is a crime, but that's a whole different world.
Sure.
That's a whole different world to enter
boy.
Into.
Ownership
the world that
is
we
a
live in the world that we live in, frankly, under maritime law,
right.
Which is the only one that I accept.
Right.
Oh, wait, no, under that you would be executed for petty theft.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay, well then, never mind.
But you would have
I retract
to, my
You'd
have to have your own court.
Can we find an admiral up here?
So I don't know. I agree with you. The ranking of things is kind of petty and stupid. Doesn't really get you anywhere, but it is.
No, and in fact, it does the complete opposite. It keeps you from where, look, if your idea is worry only about the big crimes.
Right.
Only about that, then you wind up discounting everything else. You
well,
know,
but
like,
there's also...
oh, this, don't look over here. Don't look at this sexual harassment shit. We've got to deal with this over here. And then any problem you come up with, well, it's not raping and torturing kids. So let's not worry about it.
Right.
Even though your fantasy 10 is not real.
No, know? Everything Alex complains about, he thinks is a 10, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
But then,
and everything else is nothing.
But then further, the other dangerous piece of this is he's presenting this false world where people aren't working against child exploitation.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't investigating those sorts of things and human trafficking and shit.
And if you want to talk about the extent to which we're doing it, that's a conversation I'm willing to have.
Sure.
But as long as you go, also sexual harassment is a crime and it's a good thing that we're rooting these people out.
Yeah, it's fascinating that Alex has never like got on air and been like, everyone should donate to these organizations that are working against human trafficking.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. He doesn't give a shit.
Well, he's not going to get any money from those donations.
He doesn't give a shit.
He can't even write those off on his taxes.
He doesn't give a shit about the things that are actually on the ground. He just cares about exploiting people's fears about them.
Right.
So, anyway, this next clip, Alex gets into talking about the Access Hollywood tape of Trump with Billy Bush. And
where are we going to go on this? I feel like this has been covered more than enough.
It has.
And not reported enough, but it's been covered on along all the angles.
Alex's take on this episode, this Friday the 15th episode, is really interesting because he takes a journey. He starts here, and then after this clip, I'll play you where he ends up.
He finds Colonel Kurtz.
It's such a mess. He contradicts himself within the course of an episode, and it's just bizarre. He's so desperate, grasping at straws, lying about even just basic reality, to the point where, like, here's what he says at the beginning, and then I'll play you what he says at the end.
That when all this starts coming out as it is, they're just going to not cover it and still have the fake women paid off on TV.
He's talking about, like, we talked about this on another episode, his prediction that come January and February, there's going to be hundreds of women who accuse Trump.
Of course.
And he's saying that everyone will ignore the fact that they're all fake and Lisa Bloom is paying them all.
Right.
So, anyway.
Saying he raped them, he slapped them, he called them whores. I mean, this is all the stuff.
Like some. Did you hear those tapes too?
OCD in a good way, patriot control freak. Is going to run around raping women, and then he's 71 years old before we find out about it. Yeah, that's going to happen.
It is if people sign a bunch of non-disclosure agreements and you settle cases out of court and shit like that, give people big payoffs. Anyway.
And long before I hooked up the Trump wagon, I talked to folks that know him and know him well.
Roger Stone.
Dan,
and they told
none
me he
of
was
it
mobbed
is true. Zero. Zero. It's absolute BS. What do you have, like 15 seasons of Apprentice? And they get one recording behind the scenes. You know, little scumbags record everything. So they can edit it together and things. That's what Trump said. It's edited. He says, yeah, it's crazy. They jump on you and do whatever you want. It's crazy. Good Lord. He just sounds like an old fuddy-duddy there, but a good one.
I feel like the
ladies is all over you. It's crazy.
The
you
know, pussy thing.
I mean, because, you know, that's old-fashioned. I can't believe celebrities, women throw themselves at you like this. Because back when I was just a billionaire, it wasn't like this.
And then I grabbed
Yeah, it's like Elvis with women throwing their panties at him. He didn't rape those women.
He grabbed them by the pussy.
And that's what he's like. Yeah, they throw themselves on you. It's crazy.
So long as you grab them.
And that turns into he's this big criminal. And they're the ones recording him. Oh, it was accidental. Somebody picked it up outside. Bull.
That's not at all what happened.
And you can hear the tape, how it's like a few words and cut, cut, cut. You ever seen the refrigerator games? And where you have the words and it's got like hundreds of words. You can like put them together however you want. It's the same deal. You could take the Bible and edit it to say, Jesus loves Satan, kill your children. But it's not true. They've taken the words, cut them out, put them in different formations.
I mostly kept that towards the end because I had that gross slurp noise of him desperately trying to breathe. So, I mean, if you go back and you actually listen to the Excess Hollywood tape, again, it's not an Apprentice tape, and no one was secretly recording him. He was wearing a live mic because he was on.
Grab them by the pussy.
Doesn't sound like that at all.
No, it sounds like a sentence said by a monster.
And even the grab him by the pussy part is disgusting and awful. But I think that you could make an argument if you're Alex Jones that what he's saying is like that. I don't believe in locker room talk, but I think he could make that argument better about that quote than about the quote from the same tape where Trump says, I can't help myself. Sometimes I just start kissing them.
Right.
That's because that implies awareness of agency. He knows that that is something that he does, and he's talking about how he does it.
Yes.
The grab him by the pussy part could just be, like, just dirty talk or something like that.
It has
it's
to
not,
be.
But no, you could make that argument.
The reason that
it's,
to me, is
not
what needs to be.
An old fuddy-duddy.
No, no. Absolutely not.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, the reason to me why he can't say that and why it's important to continue to point out that Trump said that is because so many Republican voters, especially with his bullshit of like, they hate Christians and all of that stuff. All of these Christians for all of our lives have constantly, like, I'm not allowed to say pussy around my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not allowed to say that. The guy you voted for said that he grabs women by the pussy and he said it publicly and you still voted for him.
Right.
So no matter what you do, fuck you.
Well, because it comes down to the radicalization of evangelicals with things that they supposedly should care more about.
Exactly.
Which is what Alex Jones's sort of
right.
main purpose in life is, to
right.
make you afraid of demons that are all liberals and all that shit. Where it's like, who cares? Look, he's not a perfect man. He talks about how crazy it is that women want to fuck him a bunch, and you know he's human.
And if he
well,
repeats,
and the reality is,
if he repeats grab him by the pussy as many times as he would need to in his defenses of this circumstance,
mm-hmm.
his listeners would be like, "Ooh, I did vote for a guy who said that."
Well,
the bigger problem
with the grab him by the pussy part of it is the frequent instances from his past where he has literally just grabbed people's
yep.
pussies.
Yeah.
You know, there is that element that's like, ooh, you know, that He said that in, what was it, like 2015?
Yeah.
That the tape from Access Hollywood?
Something like that.
And there are stories from dating back to like the 90s of him just putting his hand up people's skirts.
Right.
And shit like that.
The old lady in Home Alone 2.
What?
It was brutal.
Oh, my God. The pigeon lady?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I don't like it.
No, you don't.
The point being is because that exists, I feel like it gives me full ease with which to invalidate any Christian's bullshit. Like, anytime, if my parents,
there are some Christians that aren't on board with him. There's some.
I mean, like the ones who voted for him, who consistently talk about the morality of homosexuality or whatever it is along those lines.
Get bent.
All of that shit is gone.
Yeah.
That we're past hypocrisy and into a complete, you don't really believe anything, so fuck you. I don't need any of this shit.
I mean, you can even see that in the demographics of the Alabama Senate race. I mean, not even when you look at the racial and gender breakdowns, but you look at, like, evangelical Christians voting for Roy Moore.
In
drastic numbers.
Yeah.
And you see, like, the only way to do that is to just assume that everyone's lying about these
things.
And the people who are lying are demonic.
Yeah.
But anyway, in that clip, Alex Jones's defense of Trump with that clip is that it's edited together of things he said.
Sure.
And the things that he said are, he's a fuddy-duddy. He's just an old but a good man who's like, it's crazy that women want to fuck me like this because I'm a celebrity.
Well, you know when, do you know the tape where they edited, where he said the word pussy and they edited out and put it into that tape?
Uh-huh.
It was that tape.
Oh. Oh my.
Yeah, it was the one where he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Where else would you edit together Trump saying pussy?
I think from the season of Celebrity Apprentice that had Bret Michaels on it.
Okay.
Bret Michaels was trying to not take responsibility for
and
how
Bret Michaels
their,
was a pussy?
Yeah, their pretzel stand didn't work. I've never watched that show. But so I know that on the Celebrity Apprentice, sometimes they have to make little pop-up businesses, and I assume maybe a pretzel stand was on. I've never watched that show.
There's money in the banana stand.
I do know that Bret Michaels was on it at some point.
Okay.
Anyway. That was his defense in that clip. Later on in the show, this is one of the only times that we're going to go out of chronological order in the episode, but it's worth it just for comparison. A little bit later, someone calls in and talks about how you can just make people say fake stuff with audio and video technology now.
Okay. Now that's an interesting thought.
Right. And somehow Alex hadn't considered this.
Of course not.
And once this caller calls up, he's like, oh, this is the narrative.
Light bulb.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
And so he changes it to be like, no, it's not Trump being a fuddy-duddy. Someone just put it in Adobe and made
it.
Thanks to
fucking perfect.
So
thanks, caller, for the assist. I got a whole new week out of this shit.
Right. So here is him putting the pieces together and also doing a little bit of a rambly riff on the intro music, which I enjoy.
Your host, I want to go quickly through your calls because they're all so great and they bring up things that I'd forgotten to cover. In many cases, things I didn't even know about.
Mostly.
But I know this. We got to run from the globalist.
Oh, do we?
Gotta take back our civilization, take back our culture, take back our innovation, and make the devil get behind us. Not because we're running scared, but because we're marching out of the Babylon, into the stars, into the future. Run, 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 run.
I would listen to that show.
Because the parasites can't innovate.
Along.
We have to run.
Now that's 4 hours I can get behind.
And run and innovate. And run. And innovate. And run. And innovate.
We're on minute 6.
Because we were mentioning it, Access Hollywood. I'd forgotten about this Dolby program that anybody could get. And then they didn't release it. I remember seeing that in the news because it had so many problems. Can you imagine what people would do? Oh, wow. I mean, all the little creeps out there. And this is old technology. So he records it. He has it playback. The computer can copy it. Then he can change words just from one sentence and have it now say off one sentence other words that beat voice print.
So he, I didn't keep all this in because what he does is he plays a video of a guy demonstrating the technology from years ago.
Right.
A couple years back. And,
that he had somebody frantically YouTube immediately after that caller.
And it's way too long. And so he just sits there and he's like, look what they can do.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't get to anything that proves his point. I mean, that technology.
I assume he doesn't say, start that clip over again.
No. That technology does exist in some form, but there are ways you can tell forensically.
Yeah.
Like, people can take the audio and see, you know, things have been edited and shit like that.
It is a really interesting thing, though.
It's dangerous in the future.
Because they can do a relatively primitive version of it now that you might...
You could trick some people.
Yeah, you could trick some people with. Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting thing 10 years from now.
I've seen demonstrations, too, on YouTube of video technology they can do where you speak and it is able to actually alter the mouth of the person who's talking. And that sort of stuff is incredibly scary.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet.
Yeah, Alex, man, you're a few years too early with this bullshit.
We're not there yet. And also, Billy Bush is like, yeah, Trump said all that shit.
Yeah, well, he's Billy Bush.
And they've done a lot of analyses of it, and he did say
why?
It,
so. We all know he said it. We knew he would say it. We know he could have said it.
Totally.
Everything fits.
Yeah.
Like, it's the easiest mystery to solve ever. We don't need to go into voice print match.
The only thing that I care to bring up and talk about is the idea that Alex had the narrative of, like, he's an old fuddy-duddy. At the beginning, a caller calls in, brings up that technology. Alex fails to play a clip exploring the technology, and then he's like, yeah, that's probably it. It's probably all fake.
What do you think an old fuddy-duddy sounds like?
The guy from Up. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
What even is a fuddy duddy?
I don't know. I don't care. Look, I want to move on to this next clip.
Do you think humans have souls, Dan?
Look, theologians would tell you. So in this next clip, earlier in the week, Alex Jones had been ranting about people who want to fuck cars.
I did not see that coming. That was a sentence that took me by surprise.
He also relates it to homosexuality.
That I did see coming immediately after I told you the first part.
So there's this thing called mechanophilia. And there's a subset of people who are sexually attracted to machines.
Yeah, I watched a show where it was like, I married the Eiffel Tower.
Right, there's a lady who married a bridge.
Yeah, whatever.
Right.
Fine, just don't fucking get in anybody's way.
Right, it's harmless to a certain extent.
Yeah.
About in 2008.
Yeah, if you're going to fuck your bridge, fuck it under.
Right.
Don't fuck it on top.
We'll
all be okay with that. Also, if you have three questions for me to get across, that I find offensive.
Two questions?
We can negotiate on two.
So, in 2008, there was a video that went viral and a story about a guy who claimed, I think it was a guy out of England, who claimed that he had sex with 1,000 cars. And so that was like almost 10 years ago.
Rich Little? The man with the 1,000 voices cars?
Yeah, every time he fucked a car, he had a new voice.
Yeah.
There was a, you know, there's a, that was popular about 10 years ago as a point of conversation, and I guess it's back.
Sure.
So, Alex.
Fine.
The thing is, when Alex discussed it, he was discussing it in terms of, like, now this, he compares it to homosexuality. In as much as, like, why do I gotta respect all this stuff? All your letters and stuff like that, all your LGBT fucking cars. You're like, so what he's doing is he's taking, like, sort of very basic sexual identity and sexual orientations and bringing them into paraphilias.
It's the bestiality, like, what's next? Bestiality argument, but weirder.
Exactly. So he did this and he ranted about this.
Which is weird. Is it weirder to fuck a bridge than it is to fuck an animal? I feel like, yeah.
Well, in as much as one's alive, yes.
Yeah, right?
I don't know.
Just like from a base, like, mechanic standpoint.
You're splitting hairs here a tiny bit.
I'm kind of.
I don't want to go down this road. The point is.
What's a 10? From 1 to 10, is it like a cow?
Stone. Roger Stone. A statue in stone of Roger Stone.
Oh, boy. Now that's hard to fuck.
Yeah, it is. So, Alex, earlier in the week, it wasn't that he was one-to-one comparing being gay with fucking cars, but in his rant, he was so unclear about what he was talking about and what he was complaining about that people on, like, Media Matters and these sort of sites pulled that and was like, this is a pretty homophobic rant, and it has to do with fucking cars.
Yeah.
And to be fair to them, they weren't wrong.
Yeah.
There was
Sounds like that's what it was.
There was homophobia in it, but he wasn't saying gay people fuck cars. He wasn't saying that. And they weren't saying that. But Alex thinks that's what he was. they were saying he was saying. So on Friday, he rants about the reaction to the rant in a very weird way that is troubling. This is very troubling.
You know, there was a time whenever that I didn't even think, like, a long time ago.
A galaxy far, far away.
I would have been like, oh, so, great movie. Great movie. I would have been like, what? That's the craziest fucking thing I've... Now I'm like, well, of course he's mad that people think that he said that he thinks that he fucked a car.
Well, it's like he's misrepresenting coverage of him being super unclear about what he's talking about.
About what he's misrepresenting.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's just this... It's like a sea of fog.
Yeah.
It is... No one can get out of it. It's just... So anyway, here is this dog shit rant that he goes on Friday.
Oh, you're going to pay for somebody to put Drano in their eyes or someone to chop their genitals off. Chop your genitals off. I'm not paying for it. Oh, that's homophobic. You don't like people having sex with their cars? I just said they're doing it. I don't need to know the acronym. I'm not hateful if I don't, respond to the people that live as dogs. They live as children. They're dumping Drano in their eyes. I was reading there have been hundreds of surgeries in Europe where they remove people's corneas or they just dump bleach in your eye.
I tried to find.
I feel like that's not a surgery.
No. I tried to find verification of this and, shockingly, could find no verification of it. But he's saying there's hundreds in all of Europe. I don't know. Maybe there's hundreds of cases of people pouring Drano in their own eyes, but it would be in the low hundreds. Anyway, this statistic he's,
I feel like you're splitting hairs, Dan.
This statistic he's citing.
And this is a road I don't want to go down.
Fine.
And then you go on welfare as a blind person. No, you're crazy. Put them in a loony bin until they don't want to put Drano in their eyes. But instead they got psychiatrists and psychologists at the scene applying it to their eyeballs. And the neighbor's going, oh, it's so great. Oh, it's so wonderful.
All he's going off of is a tiny clip that he has from a British show that's like My Strange Addiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I eat couches.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's just one of those human interest sort of shows. And he's just misrepresenting like a years old.
Yeah.
Three
it's
minute
like
clip.
It's like a show that's like, hey, look at how weird humans can be. Isn't this some wackadoo shit?
Right. It's the more respectful version and not racist version of like human zoos that we now do on television.
Yeah. It's a freak show. Yeah. I like the, I just got this image of a guy out on his front lawn, just in like some suburbia, just sitting out on his front lawn, just pouring bleach into his eyes.
The neighbors
and his neighbors around just like, that's fucking great.
Get him.
Great job.
You did it.
I really approve of this.
Proud of you. Bully.
So, they don't even want to debate about how they're trying to scramble society because their own documents admit they're doing this and making it normal to screw people up and create mental illness. Let me tell you, you want to take your eyeballs out? You're crazy.
Okay.
You want to have sex with a car? You're crazy. Knock yourself out.
I don't think he believes that.
But I don't have to know the acronym for it. I know the acronym. Mental patient. I know the acronym. Somebody wants to have sex with a rubber robot. Somebody that doesn't want to communicate with humans, who was on a smartphone too much growing up. That's what you are. You're like an animal brought up in a cage with no windows, and you don't even know what it is to be your species. That's what it is. The end of our species. I mean, this is how space aliens would slowly strangle us and take us out.
Car fucking?
This is how space aliens, if they were real, if they were here, fallen angels, this is how they do it. And it's funny, there's a book warning us that it was coming and they would run this exact operation. Boy, thanks. Thanks, science fiction writers. Because if you don't believe in God, that's all it is. Okay, well, it's science fiction that they're using as a blueprint. So it doesn't matter. It's manifesting. It's happening. We better get informed. Okay, I'm going to take your calls coming up for the next hour. And I'm going to go to Mark and Keen and Marcos and others, Brandon and John and everybody else we're going to go to. Seriously, though, if you spread the articles and videos, this is just something I say. This is a war. When you spread the articles, the videos, the reports, they're going to try to ridicule you online and try to punish you because they want to shut down the transmission that's most dangerous to them. They have congressional hearings, you name it, and are specifically wanting us off the air. Because let me tell you, I got their program.
Car fucking?
So, InfoWarsStore.com. We need funding.
It's a weird turn for Top Gear.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can smell it coming from a mile away.
We are going to race across Europe. And then fuck our cars.
Right. I mean, didn't people like people, explorers would fuck animals? You know,
yeah.
You're out on the, you know, there's no one around.
When you're alone, you just start fucking shit.
Right. It's just all.
That's my excuse for all human behavior.
It's just all pathetic, like what he's doing there.
Yeah.
Because again, he's yelling about like, I don't need to know the abbreviations. I don't need to know the letters. And like, the letters are not talking about people who pour bleach in their eyes. They're not talking about people who fuck cars. They're talking about people who are, you know, very legitimate.
Hey, here's a conversation maybe we should have. People who fuck cars are less oppressed than gay people.
To some extent, yeah.
Have you considered that, Alex?
And there's another.
Do you know why they're not in the acronym? Because they're fine.
They don't need an advocacy group.
Yeah, nobody is bothering them. Everybody's more like, hey, isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Don't do that in public.
Yeah, get on out of here, you scamp.
You see a guy like sort of rubbing a car and you're like, get a garage.
Yeah, exactly.
It's troubling.
I mean, if you've ever met a car dude, there's such an autoerotic,
Autobahn-erotic.
Mechanerotic. Ugh. There's no good.
It's called mechanophilia.
Yeah. But the point being is like, a lot of those guys, if you left them alone with their cars for too long, you'd find some jizz on the car. That's fine.
I don't even know how that works, quite frankly. And I don't care. I really don't care.
I got a YouTube video for you, my friend.
Live your life.
Right.
That's what I say. That's my motto.
Hey, but you know what? I've seen people get married to a fucking car.
There are
before people were allowed to marry each other of the same sex.
I don't know if the state recognizes the marriage between man and car.
No, they get full hospital visit rights.
With the car?
Yes.
If it's in the shop? Look, I mean, we can have a lot of fun and make jokes and stuff, but like the at the end of the day, what Alex is doing is he's conflating sexual identity, sexual orientation with these. I mean, I don't think they're wrong or bad, but they are certainly very anomalous.
Yeah.
And they fall under the heading of paraphilias. They fall under the heading of sexual fetishes that might be destructive. It's not necessarily destructive, but it's certainly way outside the realm of normal human behavior.
And it's just like, it's just like if you've ever watched, what is it? TLC?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually TLC where it's like, so fat he can't leave his house, like that kind of thing. It's a televised freak show.
More or less.
And the reason that there's a freak show is because you've never seen anything like that before in your life.
And because the percentages of that population are nothing.
Ridiculously low.
And Alex, it's just his inability to understand what people are saying to him. His inability to understand criticism. Or unwillingness, probably.
Yeah.
And his unwillingness to...
Or it's a testament to the strength of his ability to ignore and misunderstand what people are saying.
And his unwillingness to disconnect the idea of homosexuality, transgender issues with I fuck my car.
Right.
He thinks that they're all freaks, and so he lumps them all into one.
Right.
That's more the point I wanted to get to. So anyway, in this next clip...
Which, again, is still not a defensible position.
No.
Because your position is freaks don't have rights.
I'm not defending it. I'm saying that's what Alex believes.
No, I know, but even if you believe that, you need to understand that that's still wrong. That's still the most wrong.
Quite wrong.
Like that, like if your defense is being gay is exactly like fucking a car, and so you shouldn't have rights, the answer to that is, are you a human being? So you have those rights.
Yeah, right.
That's how human beings work.
Human rights.
Yeah, exactly. The ones that we have.
Fair enough. Let's move along. We got a bit of road to go down here.
Yes.
So in this next clip, Alex Jones has brought in Roger Stone.
Great.
Expert witness Roger Stone.
Wonderful.
And the two
soon to be convicted felon Roger Stone.
And so the two of them have a conversation about these women that are accusing Trump of sexual harassment.
Right.
I watched that press conference. I rolled it back and watched it three times when they brought out the so-called victims. These women are coached. They are forced. the whole thing stinks to high heaven.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And they say, oh, he asked for my phone number. And they're like, oh, my God, that's Megyn Kelly just acts shocked. And meanwhile, let's be honest, you know Trump well. You've known him 44 years. This is not Donald Trump's type. I mean, I'm sorry. The woman looks like a praying mantis.
Yeah, none of these women were his type. When he was single, he dated supermodels and virtually only supermodels.
What about your wife? I tell you, she's a Latina supermodel. I've met her. Good Lord.
Well, I have high standards myself.
Great. This is sad. This is sad.
I'm confused as to what the conversation is about.
What do you mean? It's about these women being too ugly for Trump, baby. That's a major selling point of his argument now. Lisa Bloom is paying them all, and they're too fucking ugly. They look like aliens or praying mantises.
That's not a good argument.
It's not good.
No.
And it also is reinforcing the exact worldview that the people who are coming out with sexual assault and harassment
are the
allegations,
victims of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're embodying the thing that is allowing this to continue.
Yeah.
So that's great. Anyway, Roger Stone is in there, and he talks about how he's being sued, that amicus brief stuff.
Yes.
He talks about that a little bit, and he's like, isn't it crazy? They won't let me grill Clapper. They won't let me, he won't come into court and let me cross-examine him. And like,
is that how that works?
That.
Is he's not really being sued, right?
No, the amicus brief is part of a lawsuit against Trump and Roger Stone. Because of the WikiLeaks stuff.
Right.
There is an issue where a number of people's personal identities and their personal information got leaked into the public because of those WikiLeaks disclosures.
Right.
That they had nothing to do with anything, and they've sued the Trump campaign and Roger Stone for their complicity in the promotion of those leaks and the possibly being involved with them.
And the amicus,
and so the
brief,
amicus brief
was
is,
filed because they're like, yeah, they totally did.
Well, the amicus brief is establishing to a certain extent that Russia did hack the DNC and the RNC, and that Russian intelligence has a history going back nigh on Cold War era.
Yeah.
But especially since 2000, when Putin came into power, of using local people to disseminate information and to be their sort of point men in countries where, you know,
right.
So I read the entire brief, and essentially all it boils down to is,
yeah, they did that.
They did that, and we can't tell you that Roger Stone is responsible for a lot of this stuff for reasons, but he was.
Yeah.
So he talks about that, and he dismisses it, and, you know, plays the victim and like a sad little snowflake.
Yeah.
But then he says one thing about one of the women who's accusing Donald Trump.
I don't want to know what he says.
No, it's actually really great.
I mean, I don't understand what you mean by that.
It's great because it's so weak, but it also points the finger back at him and Alex in a way that he probably should be much more careful with his words.
Okay.
I think you have to hold some of the ammunition back. I am chasing a very active story that one of the women who's an accuser, who was on The Apprentice and claimed sexually assaulted her, lied repeatedly in her applications to even get on the show. Well, if you lie about one thing, you'll lie about everything.
That doesn't make
and we're going to have more about
sense.
That.
If you lie about one thing, you'll lie about everything. If that's Roger Stone's belief, I have bad news about his career. I have bad news about Alex's career. I have bad news if you hold anyone to that standard. Also, she's lying on an application to a fucking reality show. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Everyone lies on those.
Yeah, if you're not lying on that, you're not doing it right.
I lied on my application to be a college columnist when I was in college. Of course I did.
Right. I lied on my application to be on this show.
I've lied on every job application.
On the Craigslist ad for co-hosts for an Alex Jones podcast, you were like, you got to know a lot about Alex Jones to be on this show.
And then we've sort of pivoted to this, you know, this new format where you know nothing about him.
Well, I was the most qualified candidate.
Certainly. Certainly. But I am going to sue you for lying.
Fair enough. No, that's true.
I just think it's really fascinating when documented liars get together and complain about someone else lying in an innocuous way. And then say that it indicates that everything they do is not credible.
Well, it's unjust for people to lie about me. I mean, it's fine for me to lie about other people. It's not even, but they're doing it about me.
Roger Stone isn't even saying that she's lying about him. It's about my boy.
My boy!
Yeah, I you know, that's a really interesting question.
No, it's not.
To how much
no,
do
it's
these
not.
No, no, no. To how much do these guys personalize the attacks on Trump?
Oh.
Like no, of intensely. Course. Of course, of course that's not a good question.
No.
My thought there is these guys
insanely.
But do I think, seem to take it as personal attacks whenever you attack Trump.
But
like they've completely associated themselves with his identity.
And I think there's different reasons for it. And this might be a little bit out there and speculative, but I believe that the reasons for it...
Well, for one, it's going to be the need for a pardon.
Well, that's part of it. I think it's hierarchical to a certain extent. Like, I believe that Roger Stone is defensive of Trump at this point for safety.
Yeah.
Because attacks on
right.
Trump are attacks
right.
on him. He understands... We get this layer up, I'm under there.
Right.
That sort of thing.
So you're saying he's a beta?
Somewhat. And then, I don't know, Alex is a delta or something. He's an epsilon. He's down there because his fear and identification.
How many more Greek alphabet words can you toss out?
Alpha, beta, delta, lambda, zeta, iota, omicron, upsilon, omega. Did I say epsilon the second time?
You did say epsilon.
Not
again.
In the roundup here. Sigma.
I like Sigma.
Psi.
That's the name of the bad guy in Mega Man.
Pi, Psi are two different letters.
Psi?
Rho. I should have done this in order. This is not good. Nu, Mu. Fuck, I'm running out. Anyway.
Happy Jew.
A rallying cry. New Moo, happy Jew.
That's
so,
the weirdest thing
but,
I've ever
but
said.
But I think Alex's sort of knee-jerk need to defend Trump is based on things that Roger has told him, but there's a filter. Like, Roger isn't telling him, if Trump goes down, we're all going to prison.
Right.
Roger is spinning to Alex as well, and so
right.
he's telling him he is our last defense against these globalists
right.
and what have you, feeding into Alex's narrative. So I think in his subconscious, he knows that if Trump goes down, he's in very serious legal trouble.
Yeah.
But consciously and overtly, it's more, I need my mission to be completed, and Trump will help complete that mission.
Right, right, right.
So for the two of them, they're both very personally involved in Trump not being attacked, but
yeah.
for very different reasons.
And it,
that's
but,
what I think.
But that's... To me, that makes sense. The weird part is that they take it as attacks on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fine if you're Roger Stone and you're saying, well, an attack on Trump is an attack on my safety. What seems to be the case, though, is if it's an attack on Trump, it's an attack on me personally.
Well, that's the branding, though. That's the branding. Trump is all of us. Trump is the bulwark. He is the he is the figurehead of our movement, which is going to bring back sovereignty.
Sure.
All this stuff. So yeah, of course, Trump is you. Trump is you.
That's a bummer.
That's what
they should feel bad.
That's what they've
right?
spent a long time pushing.
I know, but that's sad.
In this next clip, Alex is mad about Jeff Bezos. Amazon.
Who wouldn't be?
We're trying to shut him down, apparently.
We should.
No. He's trying to shut down Alex Jones.
Well, we should shut down both of them.
Sure. So he's complaining about that, and then he gets into territory he probably shouldn't be getting into.
And they're actively trying to get us shut down.
Darius killed 12 people.
This jerk
I'll just leave it at that.
Has $110 billion himself, that we know of, and then
okay.
he wants me shut up.
That we know of?
And then I come home and his boxes are in my house.
They're not his boxes.
Not anymore, though. People go, well, then why are you launching Amazon pages? Because then they put off Chinese knockoffs on there of our products, undercut. So we have to be on Amazon to be able to then declare that that it's our products. Or I'm going to have to sue Amazon. But you notice I don't plug get our stuff at Amazon. It's all strategic. And that's how people play games with our audience. They go, look, Jones says he's anti-Amazon, but then he's on it. Exactly. Just like Trump has to do some things. You got to be in the swamp to drain it. We had hundreds of resellers, most of it fake.
Broke my brain.
And it was becoming a big problem. We were having groups test it and find things in it, and we looked, it wasn't ours. China, look, you can look it up. So I've got to be able to have a store on eBay, to shut down the fake stuff on eBay. I've got to have a store on Amazon to shut down the fake stuff. That's how it works.
Is it?
But good Lord, ladies and gentlemen, it is insane. And I'm not whining, but we're in a war. I'm on the deck of the ship. They are shooting at us. And when you pray
for
us,
when
you spread the articles, when you spread the videos, and when you go and buy T-shirts and spread the word, meet like-minded people, and you buy books, you buy films, it changes the world. I promise I'm going to Brandon, Mark, and Jim right when we come back, and Lewis and Tristan. It's going to happen. But I've got a plug or we won't be here. Christmas every year helps us fund to the next year decide if we're going to be able to stay the same or grow or contract. And luckily,
keep on going,
by the grace of God, we've been expanding for 22 years. InfoWarsStore.com.
Well, you've said you've been expanding for 22 years.
He somewhat has, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe it, based on the reality that we see in front of us now.
Well, he's got Dr. Jerome Corsi crushing it in the D.C. office.
The D.C. Bureau.
Oh, man.
So, the thing that I want to talk about.
I can't tell you how many stories I've heard Corsi break.
So many hot ones. Hot stories.
Oh, man. That's a guy who is fucking on it.
They're not sexy, though. They don't go viral, but they're so real.
And they're boring.
Right.
And you can't listen to them.
Oh, and they're not true.
No, there is a problem with that.
Sure. There's a couple.
Yeah.
So,
you can lie if you're interesting.
Right. If you're Paul Joseph Watson, lie.
Yeah.
Lie like crazy. Who cares?
Yeah.
So the other thing that I want to talk about there is that what he's complaining about is this idea that I have to be on Amazon, because if I'm not, then there will be resellers who pop up on Amazon that don't follow the rules of reselling my stuff, which is ironic.
I don't think he likes capitalism at all.
But it's also ironic considering he started FortifiedSupply.com in order to get around reselling agreements with the people that he resells for.
I don't understand.
He has that entire thing that we talked about like a week ago where he's like, I started this site to get around map agreements.
Prosperity.
He's complaining about people doing the same thing that he's doing to his suppliers with his stuff.
Well, yeah, but it's bad when it happens to him.
Right.
He doesn't care about those other people who he's doing it to.
It's so pathetic. It's so pathetic. It's not Amazon. It's these other resellers who are just doing the same game you're doing. Do you not understand that, like, you behaving in this way makes it okay for everyone to behave in this way? Who cares about agreements?
Dan, I feel like you've fundamentally misunderstood capitalism.
No, I understand it, and they're living it.
Yeah, but you've misunderstood it.
Right.
The point is... what was the definition again? Because
prosperity.
That's what's happening.
Prosperity.
Ugh.
So in this next clip, Alex.
Capitalism is great when you're beneficiating from it.
And when all your rules are followed.
Yeah.
Everyone just gets in line.
And all of a sudden when capitalism hits you the wrong way, you're like, well, this is bad. It turns out maybe this is bad.
Fuck this noise.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, Alex finally...
I want socialism for me and capitalism for everybody else.
That's what the rich say.
Exactly.
So in this next clip, Alex finally gets to a caller, and the caller asks him about a fake story. And it's pretty interesting how Alex responds to it.
Does Alex know about this story?
We'll see.
Brandon in Alabama, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
I love you.
Appreciate all you do. Thank you for accepting the call. I'm out here in Arizona, not Alabama.
Sorry.
But no,
I got Alabama on the mind.
Yeah, exactly. So I've just have a few bullet points. I was wondering if I can get your thoughts or opinions on, maybe you have some inside baseball through your sources that you can talk about, but it consisted of the CIA headquarters getting raided by the Marines recently, mixed with 4,000 plus field indictments in all 94 districts, which could be for, you know, Pettigate related mass arrests. It could be nothing more than gang prosecutions consisting of...
Now, here's the question. As I look at those reports, did the Marines really raid, or that's just rumors?
That's why I'm bringing it up to you. I didn't know if you had any more definitive...
No, I mean, the globalists run a lot of fake news sites that act like they're patriots on purpose. And notice the media never really covers that fake news. They just put out fake news to confuse people so when they see a real bombshell story, they don't know what they're seeing.
Right, exactly.
I have an alternative theory, and that is that a lot of people in Alex Jones's camp are crazy, and they post crazy stuff. It's not the globalists who are putting fake patriot news out.
Why did Alex Jones say, in looking at these reports?
What do you mean?
Are there reports?
Well, they're
I feel like he just made that up whole cloth.
No, they're blog posts.
Okay, so this guy,
this guy's referring to some sort of weird wingnut website where they posted a blog about like the military has invaded CIA headquarters. Okay. They're taking down the deep state kind of thing.
See, I thought he was fucking with Alex because he sounded like he wasn't insane.
No.
Like he had the vocal qualities of someone who isn't going to be like, also, did you know that they just raided the CIA headquarters with the Marines?
No. You have a good sense of a lot of these ad pivots, but you need to learn about how to tell if one of these callers is crazy.
These crazy people hide in plain sight.
To some degree.
Like Daria.
So, he goes on to be like, they're probably going to take out, I mean, you know, maybe the military didn't invade, but they're going to fucking take out all these pedophiles, right?
What kind of lunatic would believe that the Marines would raid the CIA? Even if you believe that the Marines could raid the CIA, they can't!
No.
That's not even a thing!
Posse comitatus.
That's not a thing!
Yeah, I know.
There's no thing that could be!
The Army and the Marines do not operate on
our soil. The Marines don't investigate things.
They're not police.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Alex Jones saying that he has Secret Service sources that have told him that they're investigating Mueller. And it's like, hold on now. Do you know that the Secret Service, their only investigative arm is about
Treasury?
Yes.
Yeah. It's about taxes.
Money fraud.
Yeah.
it's about counterfeiting. And then protecting the president physically. It's not about.
And nobody ever really even knows why that's going on in the first place. That was just one of those weird de facto things where they're like, yeah, fuck it. Come on in.
I get it. But it's that same thing. It's like, oh, the military. Yeah, of course the good people of the Marines are going to investigate and storm the CIA.
But what? The Marines would go to what CIA office?
The big one. Home command.
The CIA office at Langley and
Quantico.
Space Command.
Here's the problem that you don't understand.
Yes. there are so many problems I don't understand.
Even a year into doing this podcast, I really don't think that you understand the dearth of weird websites that promote these sort of narratives. There are thousands of them out there that people just subscribe to. They're just like, oh, I like this guy's right. It's a small version of... there are 1,000 websites that tell you what's going on with wrestling.
Oh, do you mean it's a more successful version of what we do?
No, because no one else does what we do. There's a reason.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This takes a long fucking time.
It's a lot of work.
But there's a bunch of places where you can get varying degrees of the same sort of information about what's going on in the narrative of the WWE, you know?
Right.
And you choose the guy whose writing style you like, and then it's like, I'm a with leather guy or with spandex guy.
Like, it's how Bill Simmons got a career.
I'm a Bleacher Report guy.
Yeah. I got it.
Or Matt Elfring. He does his own thing, you know? Our friend Matt.
Yeah, but he does it with GameSpot because he's fucking incredible.
Right. So, but there
love
are
Matt.
There are all those.
Congratulations, Matt, on your kid.
Congratulations,
you just had a baby.
Matt. Yeah, proud of him. Also, I saw him tweeting that he was thinking about doing a Degrassi podcast.
All right, Matt, you get the fuck off.
I'd like to tell him, good luck. Spent a good 2 years doing that, and it's very emotionally draining. But be that as it may. You have all these people and you just choose whichever voice you want, in terms of this appeals to me. I like this writing.
Yeah.
In the world of wingnut conspiracy shit, there is the same thing in terms of there are tons of people who are spitting fairly similar narratives on blogs and you're like, I like this guy's writing. I'm going to subscribe to him. And then it just becomes your place to get that news.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of them on the internet and they're all full of shit. And most of them spit stuff like this.
Right.
Like the Marines have invaded the CIA. Report or rumor.
Right.
The Marines have invaded the CIA. Sources have told us. Blah, blah, blah. But that's the mentality of most of Alex Jones's listeners. You have to understand that.
How would the Marines raid the CIA? That would be a firefight.
Totally. But do you remember, 9 months ago, we did that episode where he was talking about how they had a firefight at a pedophile compound?
Yeah, but that's not the Marines and the CIA firing guns at each other.
But I think it was the Marines who had invaded this pedophile compound or whatever that he was making up.
I'm fine with that, but the CIA, if the CIA and the Marines had a firefight...
You don't know if there was...
I would we don't watch that movie so hard.
From that call, we do not know that there were weapons.
If the Marines are invading the CIA headquarters, sooner or later there's going to be a weapon exchange.
You know from Alex that there are two types of people in the CIA. There's the ones that do the killing, and those ones love Alex.
Right.
And then there's the pencil neck chicken shit.
Right. The hard rice and the soft rice, if we're talking about Larry Nichols.
Sure. And the soft
jingle writing.
The soft rice are the ones who got invaded.
Right.
The Marines came in with the pencil pushers. No gunfire needs to be. Look,
but
it's stupid.
CIA,
who cares?
If the CIA, if one office of the CIA gets raided by the Marines, I just want a movie where there's a war between the CIA and the Marines.
Look, even Alex Jones fucking knows that this is bullshit.
That's insane.
And to his credit on the show, he's like, no, that's not real. But the idea that he's like, the globalists push this, it's like, no. You have engendered a very empowered and dumb population.
See, now that's
population.
Our sequel to Olympus Has Fallen right there. The CIA and the Marines battle? That's like Alien versus Predator, but way better.
But how do we do this without anyone knowing?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the interesting part.
Well, that's why you're fighting against the CIA. They're covering it up for you while they're fighting against you.
So now, Jordan, we're about to get into the part of the show where I would say Alex loses it a little bit.
Aliens?
He doesn't want to talk to callers anymore.
I imagine why.
He is sort of in a place where he's like, ugh, I have no more guests. Paul Joseph Watson's going to host the fourth hour,
but he's a giant pile of shit.
I got a long way to go. There's one story that I really want to talk about, but I can't get to it yet. I got to fill some time. Let's talk about the devil.
That's a good way to go.
The betrayal, the deception, the lowliness, the weakness. But that's the way the cycle works, isn't it? We have to be tested. You can't just be given eternal consciousness.
Is that the way the sex works?
In God's great system that we're
said that
in the waiting room of being tested. It's real. All the top scientists know it, the genetic engineers, the globalists. They say, oh, we're going to create new realities, and this one's the false one. Something else is running it. We're going to make a really cool idea. We're going to make this whole new thing. Everybody needs to go with us into it.
Haven't you heard those reports of the top scientists saying we're in the waiting room to heaven? You remember those reports.
The devil can't manufacture, can't create. So he's got to get us to do it. And he's trying to get us, made in the image of God, to build him his own new universe.
But then,
of course, kill us when he's done.
That also makes sense.
As he tells all the top architects that they're going to merge with these machines and he's going to take them with him. Devil's already got robots. Doesn't need you.
Then why did he ask you?
You'll find out.
That's a good point.
Jim in Toronto, Canada.
All right. That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite thing. You finally, after a year of doing this, we found my favorite thing. The devil, he needs you to build him a new universe.
Right. Then he's
but he
kill
has
you.
Robots. He doesn't need you.
You'll find out.
Jim in Toronto, we got to get you on board.
There's such comedy, like, in those pauses. And, like, because you know, from at least some experience with Alex, that, like, as he's pausing, there's just a look on his face of, like,
what am I, I just said the devil has robots. That's a weird thing for me to say. Jim?
I just shot my wad with the devil. I'm in a refractory period, I guess. Jim, what do you want
to
talk
about? Jim in Toronto, what do you got to talk
Jimmy.
About?
Jimmy!
Hey, Toronto Jim! What's going on?
That's like, there are moments of Alex where he does something accidentally and just because he's kind of panicking a little bit.
Yeah.
That are 10 times funnier than any joke I've ever heard in stand-up.
Anything. Yeah. I've never heard anything funnier than that. That's so fucking...
Because you know what?
What?
Alex accidentally understands... tension and release.
Yeah.
Like, Like, there's so much tension built up.
That's the best Bob Hope bit that Bob Hope never wrote.
There's so much tension that's built up with this idea of, like, the devil is trying to create, make us create him a universe, and then he's going to kill us. Then
but he has robots already, and he doesn't need us.
The long pauses serve it so well in terms of building up the tension.
Yep.
And then the release, the punchline of Jim.
Jim from Toronto.
Also, if I were Jim in Toronto, I'd be like, that was a shitty leader. I don't want to come to stage to that. How am I supposed to follow that?
What does Jim in Toronto want to talk about?
I don't even remember. It was so inconsequential.
Of course.
But it,
Jim is following devil worshiping.
It's impossible.
Come on, man. Jim, you got nothing.
It's impossible. You're filler. Yeah. So in this next clip, Alex asserts that the Me Too movement of women talking about how they have also been sexually harassed and abused.
Right.
Is really just about trying to attack Trump.
Nope. Done.
It's
already out.
Most of it's bullshit.
It's really just about trying to attack toxic masculinity,
and which Trump embodies, but also
which he does embody. That's true.
But beyond that, Alex gets into Pizzagate a little bit in this next clip.
He should just not do, like, if I was him, if I was just giving him advice,
right?
Which, once again, we should not be doing. And yet, if he hires us for a good amount, I would think about it.
I'd like to meet Daria.
Yeah, I would like to meet Daria. What's up?
He
should just pretend that never happened,
well,
right?
But the problem with him pretending it didn't happen is that there's too many records of what he said back then.
We have records of all the shit he said. It hasn't mattered.
Right, and he lies about all that here. And then on the other end of this clip, I'll explain why it's an even bigger issue than
previously.
Just that.
They're obviously readying this for Trump.
Previous.
And that's what he's been getting at. That's what he's been talking about. Here's a low-tech example of what they do. And then we're going to go to Jim. Megyn Kelly aired about, 10 months ago before she left Fox News, a clip on her show saying, here's Alex Jones saying Hillary tortures children to death in the basement of a pizza place.
Before,
would you like to play that clip?
But no, because before Alex gets into it, he's kind of fair on this. That Megyn Kelly on her show did play a clip out of context in a report about Pizzagate.
Yeah.
But the issue is that Alex was being super unclear about what he was talking about in the clip that they pulled from.
Are Alex being unclear?
And the other problem is that Alex, his point that he's going to make when I keep playing this clip is that Hillary Clinton, through her support of the overthrow of Libya and stuff like that, is responsible for the rape and killing of children and what have you. But the problem is, in that clip, he says that Megyn Kelly took is like she personally raped and murdered these children and stuff like that.
Right.
Which is linguistically difficult.
Right.
I understand why a overburdened researcher, clip puller for MSNBC or Fox News would do something like that.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the most deceitful thing, but Alex is also right that they did take it a bit out of context.
It's one of those things where if I said out loud that Obama personally is responsible for the...
Not even personally is responsible for. Just personally did things.
Because
that's the language he used.
See, now that's a different situation.
That's why I'm bringing this up as a clarification.
Yeah.
Because if he just said she's personally responsible for this stuff, then you could bring your Obama comparison in with all the shit he's allowed to happen.
Whatever atrocity you want to, if you're making decisions on that level, your decisions are going to lead to atrocities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in her capacity as Secretary of State, she is responsible in
for
some ways.
For atrocities,
for a lot of that stuff. But when you use the language of she personally raped and murdered children, that is where it becomes a problem.
Right.
And he doesn't understand that distinction, and he's using this decent point he has to lie about a more salient point that he should watch his language.
Right.
But anyway.
And then she had the owner on, and then she said that this clip is what I'm saying about this guy.
This is about James Alefantis, owner of Comet Ping Pong Pizza.
Who we have discussed.
And Alex Jones had to give a formal apology to.
Yes.
Which I didn't say. I mean, it would have been defaming him if I was saying it about him. I was saying it about Hillary.
You kind of were.
Funding ISIS and Al-Qaeda that have sold kids into slavery by the tens of thousands, murdered women, thrown gays off buildings. And then I went through this whole rant about, I don't know if she's a devil worshiper really killing kids. But, you know, with this whole story the media had out there specifically about Comet Ping Pong, and then later I said it probably was made up, it is made up to distract us onto that place away from what was in the WikiLeaks.
Sure. That was weird.
It takes time to figure this out. I do this whole rant about that, and they edited it together. It's video, but audio and video. Totally clear what I said at the beginning and the end. And they put it out. I'm saying she's in the basement herself, torturing and killing kids.
Nope.
And they edited the tape, mixed it around, edited it, cut the front off, the back off, and played like a minute on the show of fake audio. That's why when Megyn Kelly called me and played dumb on the phone and started hitting on me, I said, I never take people. Clandestinely, but on that case I did because I could tell it was a setup.
Fuck you.
So there was a big Hillary sex scandal to break.
Fuck you.
Mainstream media had all reported on it. They just covered it up by creating a fake one. Sure. Then they pin it on me and say I'm fake news for being the one that went and reported on it, covered it, and then debunked what was happening. Then I become the guy who's guilty and who supposedly needs to, you know, be put out of business for it.
So a couple of very salient facts that need to be brought up. One, the guy who went to Comet Ping Pong and fired his rifle, in interviews said that he was
specifically
inspired.
Specifically pointed out Alex Jones.
I listened to InfoWars and I needed to save those children.
Yep.
I needed to go get to the bottom of it. And the clips that we have played that Alex has tried to delete from the internet unsuccessfully, he has said someone should go look into this.
Yeah.
That sort of thing is, why that guy did.
Right.
More salient point.
In the same way, if one of those Second Amendment folks had gone after Hillary, you would look at Trump and say, you were the one who said, I hope these Second Amendment folks go after Hillary.
Boy, that's weird.
Weird.
The other thing I need to bring into focus is that in the last week, Alex Jones had a guest on his show to talk about Bitcoin. He was Bitcoin expert.
A Bitcoin expert.
By the name of Dave Seaman. And you don't know who that guy is.
I remember a man named Dave Seaman because that is a funny name.
Dave Seaman was one of the biggest forces behind Pizzagate.
Yeah.
You
could say he blew his wad on Pizzagate.
He did. But apparently his refractory period has come around.
Led him to Bitcoin.
He's now into Bitcoin expert.
You know what? Once you've come, you're always going to money.
Yeah. So Dave Seaman is a guy who all his videos are now taken off the internet because he's like, oh, shit, I got to get rid of all this stuff.
Of course.
This is bad. Yeah. But he was leading the charge. He was putting out frequent videos about the basement and about various Instagram posts that Comet Ping Pong had put out.
Yeah.
He was pointing the finger directly at James Alefantis.
Of course.
And he created this bizarre narrative around himself where he was being threatened. And, oh, my God, the globalists are coming to get me because I'm uncovering all this stuff. You guys need to support me. Give me money. And he made tons of money off people.
But what it was actually about is that the globalists were coming after him because of his knowledge of Bitcoin.
I can't stress this enough. His videos are gone from the internet, but I watched this unfold in real time.
Uh-huh.
I was watching the entire Pizzagate thing happen from the jump, from the beginning of it. And what Dave Seaman is doing now is the same thing that Alex is doing, because Dave has now scrubbed all his videos from the internet, and he has a Pizzagate recap on it, where he's trying to make it all about the things that were said in the WikiLeaks.
Of course.
When in reality, what he was doing was ginning up people to a crazy extent.
Yeah.
Where he was like, no, it's all there. It's all there.
Right.
Everything's going on there. This James Alefantis is a devil worshiper.
Right.
They got Podestas in the basement killing kids. He was 100% the most prominent figure who was pushing that stuff.
Right.
To the point where he created a hoax about people trying to kill him. He pretended he had to get off the grid and disappear to a cabin somewhere.
Right.
And then didn't put out videos for a while. And everyone's like, where's Dave Seaman? Did they get him? That sort of shit.
Right.
Alex
it's like
Jones,
if George Lucas tried to tell us that he never invented midichlorians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Bullshit. Bullshit, Lucas.
Exactly.
That one's on you.
So Alex Jones had Dave Seaman on his show in the last week as a repurposed Bitcoin enthusiast.
All right.
When he is not. He is one of the people who, like, that guy.
I believe if I recall your, I believe if I recall your, post about this, you likened it to Cain.
Yes.
Before he was Cain, he was what now?
Dr. Isaac Yankum. He was a wrestling dentist. It's the repackaging.
The entirety of your blog post was super boring, but that is a very interesting. I'm just fucking.
That's what wrestlers do when characters don't work. And
yeah.
they're doing the same game.
Yeah, of course. But no, I was being facetious.
I understand.
When I regard it. He was very good.
But it's the same thing that Alex has done with himself. He's repackaged what he said about Pizzagate and what
right.
he was doing. He's
right.
now repackaged. And allowed Dave Seaman to come on his show as a Bitcoin enthusiast. And Dave Seaman wrote a book about buzz and about how he's all about buzz and how he would deny the existence of air if it got him attention. So it's like, maybe we don't need to pay attention to what you're saying.
You shouldn't write an explanation for why you shouldn't listen to someone.
Exactly.
To yourself.
And then let's go further another step. Alex has Jack Posobiec on the all the time, who was another proponent of the literal Pizzagate shit
yeah.
to the extent that he went to Comet Ping Pong Pizza and spread spurious rumors about
yeah.
them, as we've covered on an episode.
As we recalled on that video,
he has all these guests who are trying to retcon their own past
right.
about this stuff, and it's not okay.
Right.
It's not okay. I'm pissed off about it. I'm super pissed off about it. Pizzagate was bullshit, and these dudes are just able to like, and Mike Cernovich too. Mike Cernovich is another one. He pretends those videos aren't still around. It's nuts. All of these guys are just engaged in large-scale fraud. They're engaged in large-scale lying and manipulation. And then when it doesn't work out, they're like, oh, I wasn't saying that. I didn't say that. There's videos, man. There's videos of Alex Jones saying that he talked to Russian intelligence. This is nuts. This isn't okay. You can't get away with this. I'm mad.
I agree.
I'm furious.
I agree with you. I agree with you on every point.
That's what it feels like when you do that.
I enjoyed it so much. That's our main difference. I was listening to that rant going like, fuck yeah, keep on going, Dan. Keep on fucking getting them. Go after that. And you're listening to my rants like, this fucking guy better shut up. I've got more facts to get to. Fuck you. Fuck you, Dan. That was great. I enjoyed it. How dare you?
That's a fair criticism.
I am giving you positive reinforcement.
I accept that as criticism. I accept that.
Yes, my positive reinforcement is criticism of you.
Well, no, it is.
I know. I'm using the powers of positive reinforcement to chastise you for the way you've treated me in the past.
Oh, God. And, again, fair point.
Yeah. I love you, Dan.
Love you, too. So this next clip, this one we're going to have fun with. This next clip is actually going to be fun.
Sorry. There's nothing better. There is nothing better than two people having a moment of where it's like, all right, now we're going
to
get back to work. Okay. Yes. There we go.
That's our version of the Alex Jones ad pivot.
Yeah, like exactly.
Back to what we're actually
all
supposed
right.
to be talking
no,
about.
No, what were we doing? It right. doesn't matter. Let's get back to what Alex Jones said.
I've always conceived of this show slightly like Mystery Science Theater in the sense that we are trapped in this room talking about something that neither of us
yeah.
would like to be talking
agreed.
About.
Agreed. Agreed.
And so we just got movie sign.
No,
it's
exactly.
time to get back to the business.
That's why I have never had, like, when we first started it, there were plenty of times where you were listening to me talk over the clips, like, fuck are you doing? And now you've kind of got like that's what I've always thought of it as.
Well,
is
keep
when
talking
we're
over
listening
the clips,
to the...
except for the points where I do this.
No. We've figured out an
right.
angle where that makes sense.
I have to shush Servo.
You
every
need
now
to
and again.
Shush Servo every now and again. God damn it, Bill Corbett, figure it out.
So in this next clip, we actually get to a little bit.
Yeah,
of...
that's right. I know a lot about Mystery Science Theater 3000. Who would have guessed?
That's not that much.
No.
You know one of the guys.
I know more of the guys. All right,
Trace
Mike
Bolio.
Nelson.
Shut up.
All right.
All right. This next clip, we can actually have some fun as Alex Jones misrepresents another right-wing sexual abuser
right.
In a very comical way.
Before we go any further, Jonah Ray, great. Great.
Fine.
He's great in the new version.
Fine.
That's how they operate, ladies and gentlemen. But regardless, you have to take any video or any tape at face value. After you have experts, forensic experts look at it, you see long clips of it. You can't sit there and take it at face value when it comes out from these people because they've been caught. Exclusive prominent lawyer sought donor cash
like
for
Project
two
Veritas.
Trump accusers. Confirm the Hill, what we told you months ago and days ago and what Bill O'Reilly said.
It's not really a story.
And I'm not saying Bill O'Reilly didn't hit on women and really weird stuff in the transcripts like, oh, baby, you got a falafel in there. You know, you want to have sex with a sandwich? I mean, it was really weird.
That's called sexual assault?
No wonder he can't get women. I mean,
little tip, O'Reilly, you don't want to call up, you know, your producer if you want to take her out and tell her, you know, off the bat, does she want to, you know, shove a sandwich? I mean, you're a pervert, but, and, you know, and you should have gotten in trouble. But what, 15 million to one woman for a pervert calling up about a, you know, how he wants her to do stuff with food? And it wasn't like chocolate sauce or something. It was really stupid. So.
What?
There's lots of examples of this and ways they can carry out fake news. But
so here's what I want to say. He ends there.
I don't understand.
I'll make everything clear.
Okay.
So what he says there at the end is the most telling part. It's like there's so many ways they can do this fake news. So now what he's talking about with the go shove a sandwich and like that falafel stuff, you don't know about this?
No. Why would I know about this?
So Bill O'Reilly, when he got in trouble for the sexual harassment stuff last time or the time before last, because it's happened a bunch.
Right.
The classic one.
Because he's a serial sexual assaulter.
Yes. And the one from.
Like Matt Lauer.
The one from years back involved a call that he made to a lady where he was talking about like rubbing a falafel around. He meant.
Well, that's just good fun.
He meant loofah.
Yeah.
He just didn't know the word for
it. What?
It was very clear that he was talking about rubbing a loofah around.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly thought a loofah was falafel?
He was probably drunk or on pills or something like that and just was like, falafel, put that falafel on your pussy.
So, but you know what? I don't think Bill O'Reilly knows what he's talking about.
But Alex Jones is in that clip giving out fake news.
And fake advice.
But in a sense, it's entirely.
And even he was like, and it's not even chocolate sauce, which I have done many a time. Like, wait, did you just say? Like, Alex Jones, did you just say you've used chocolate sauce a whole bunch?
That's fine.
That's super fine.
Live your life.
Why would that, but why would a falafel not count in the same vein?
I think it would be structurally and logistically much more difficult than chocolate sauce to use
disagree.
In a sexual
chocolate
way.
Chocolate sauce, it hardens. It's not good. Oh, definitely don't use honey.
Okay, I shan't. But look, I don't want to talk about that stuff, like the logistics of sex with food. I want to talk about.
And let me tell you something about fajitas. Bad idea.
Because they're sizzling.
A lot of burning.
I want to talk about the fact that even liberals, when they make fun of the falafel stuff, it's because everyone knows he misspoke and was talking about a loofah. Alex legitimately is presenting it as like, hey, bro, you like sex with sandwiches? Great. Don't call your producer with that. Like,
I wouldn't call your producer with any of that. Well, why are you giving that advice?
That's one piece of it. That's the more important piece.
His advice is don't sexually assault your producer with that.
With sandwich talk?
Sexually assault her with this.
You should. But the fact that he doesn't know that, like, it's a very easily explainable, like, he meant loofah.
Well, the fact that he thinks the problem is sandwich choice.
Sure.
That's maybe a larger issue.
Everybody knows women like to be fucked with meatball subs.
The problem is so much further towards the beginning of the question than when you get all the way to sandwiches.
Oh, totally.
There's a long way to go. Like,
Jordan,
sexual assault continues all the way up to sandwiches and beyond.
You're totally right, big picture. But since this is... But since this is an Alex Jones podcast, and that seems like such an elementary point, I'm more fixated on the fact that he is willfully so oblivious to what Bill O'Reilly was actually talking about.
Right.
That he's presenting
This is our Bill O'Reilly's Nancy Pelosi moment.
Sure.
Where he's like, Bill O'Reilly, he's senile. He doesn't even know how to fuck.
So in this next clip, Alex talks about David Rockefeller.
Right.
Who is now dead.
Yes.
He had some heart transplants in his life.
Right.
And in this clip, Alex...
Dead is a Subway sandwich, which you should not fuck with.
Dude, I went to Subway the other day.
Don't do it.
I almost yelled at the sandwich artist. Felt really bad about it, but she was not listening to me.
I'm sorry.
I am a problem.
I'm sorry, Dan.
I'm a problem at Subway. Because you know what I want?
Why are you a problem?
Because I want Giardiniera juice, but I don't want Giardiniera. I like the spicy oil.
That is a problem.
The spicy oil is delicious.
I understand.
I hate the cauliflower.
I understand where you're coming from.
Giardiniera, no. Fuck you, Chicago. It's too busy.
I get what you're saying. I'm with you all the way.
It's too much.
I understand.
So
don't go to Subway, though.
Back when I used to work at Subway.
That's on you.
Back at Subway, I would always be very happy to give people the oil. It just takes pressing down the spoon and then you get the oil, and you can put it on the sandwich. The other day, I went to Subway, and I had to scream at somebody. I didn't scream.
You didn't scream. Of course you did. In your brain, you screamed. In your brain, you screamed. Then you felt guilty about it for weeks afterwards.
Well, let's role play it.
Okay. All right.
Can I just get the giardiniera oil? Just the oil from it on the sandwich.
What about the rest of it?
She didn't say that. She just started going. Just started doing it. And she got a scoop. Now, granted, it was mostly oil.
So I'm already more competent than the sandwich employee that you were working
with. Well, if they wanted to have a conversation
about it, it would have helped. Asked you a question.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, she just started going in and then poured it on the sandwich. I'm like, ah, there goes a carrot.
Dude, she's being paid like $9 an hour. She gets whatever she wants. I will accept any inconvenience from a fast food employee because it's like, dude, I get it. I'm with you.
No,
you probably have a creative writing degree, which is more than I successfully achieved, and you're making me a sandwich. I agree with you.
This is the end of Dan's hungover going to Subway tales.
Yes.
Also, I was there.
Can we get some more benign celebrity acquaintances?
Yeah, here was one. The manager of the Subway.
Wait, is that the celebrity?
Yeah.
All right.
He was having a conversation.
All right, I'm sold. I'm way in.
He apparently got robbed. Like, apparently someone broke into the store recently.
Okay.
And he was having a conversation with an adjuster, and she didn't believe him at all.
Okay.
And so I'm just sitting there trying to order my sandwich, and she's just being like, well, what? Walk me through this one more time. And it was this very weird, like, do this in an office.
And
don't do it in the middle of the store.
An insurance adjuster is asking the manager about what happened.
Yeah.
Whilst,
and what was lost.
Whilst you are getting a sandwich.
Yeah. In the same. In the lobby. Just sitting right next to where I'm ordering my sandwich and pissed off about the giardiniera oil.
Right.
And then, get this.
Nobody has asked you about this. You have been waiting to tell this story for so long.
I didn't realize it, but yes, apparently.
Yes, apparently.
This happens, and I'm pissed off about the oil situation.
Yeah.
Like, my quote was, there goes a carrot. Which is fine. So the sandwich gets wrapped up.
Okay.
And then the manager, who's in the middle of talking to this insurance claims adjuster,
yes,
comes around to ring me up.
Do you know what that is? That's a Law and Order episode. Like, whenever the cops always go to the warehouse and the guy insists on still picking up boxes and putting it over, instead of just like, oh, hey, you're cops, I will have a conversation with you.
Right.
That's fantastic.
There's one guy behind me. There's two people in line total.
Uh-huh.
So there's no need for him to
come
over.
No, he's got to fucking handle
it
himself.
He's got to get in there.
Yeah. So,
and then he overcharges
what
me
is
for
he,
the
a
sandwich.
Poor...
Overcharges me for the sandwich.
What are you, Larry David now?
Basically. It was ridiculous.
You just wrote a 2-episode arc of Seinfeld. That's what you just did. You just wrote a 2-episode arc.
It's an everyman version of Curb.
Yes.
It charged me like $6 for a meatball sub. I'm like, I thought it was $5 footlongs. What's going on here? And he's like, you got it wrong. I'm like, all right, whatever.
All right.
I'm hungover. I got to go home and eat this.
You know what? I'm not going to back you with this insurance adjuster. I was on your team until now. This extra dollar means you didn't get robbed of shit.
This has been Dan's malevolent Subway experiences corner of the day. Now let's get back to this clip about David Rockefeller.
Right. We've got movie sign.
Movie sign.
It's going to become very clear very soon how far gone we already are. And by the time we turn the ship around, it's still going to be real bad, folks. The mental illness, the evil, the genetic damage, it's we're going to be so damaged that they're going to say, oh, we have computers and gene editing and everything
mental
for you.
First
just
on that list.
Join in with us and we'll take care of you.
Because evil should get
you have
villain,
to be
right?
willing to die. I would never take a Buddhist or a Christian or an atheist liver.
What?
To live. Chinese liver.
What?
Couldn't do it. David Rockefeller had 6 heart transplants before he died.
Really?
Most of them out of China. Little inside baseball. He was on such a power trip 4 years ago before he went to his last Bilderberg, or 3 years ago, that he had a heart transplant 2 days before he went.
What is that clicking
sound? Pen. It's his pen. He's clicking his pen.
Oh, okay.
But this, this is...
So he's like, what's his face in Goldeneye?
This is fake news, out of the World News Daily Report.
So Rockefeller had 6 heart transplants before he died.
The World News Daily Report in, April of 2015 reported, the billionaire philanthropist David Rockefeller had successfully undergone his 6th heart transplant in 38 years at the venerable age of 99 years old. The article also purported to have a quote from David Rockefeller. Every time I get a new heart, it's like a breath of life is swept across my body. I feel regenerized and alive.
That sounds like a fake quote.
However, this news was not reported by any other credible outlet because it was
because it's made up.
It was a spoof about the alleged heartlessness and entitlement of the wealthy from the fake news site World News Daily Report, whose disclaimer page states, and the site's articles are not meant to be taken truthfully. Here's a quote from their about page. World News Daily Report is a news and political satire web publication which may or may not use real names, often in semi-real or mostly fictitious ways. All news articles contained within worldnewsdailyreport.com are fiction and presumably fake news.
Right.
Any resemblance to the truth is purely coincidental, except for all references to politicians and or celebrities, in which case they are based on real people, but still based on almost entirely on fiction.
Right. It's an Onion article about Dick Cheney.
Yeah, but
essentially.
Jones took that to be true.
Yeah.
But it is true that he did have multiple heart transplants in his life, and he lived to 101.
He had multiple heart transplants.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact number.
Is that even allowed? I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to do that.
If you're super rich,
I feel like
you
get one extra heart and then you go fuck yourself.
You can do whatever the fuck you want, it turns out. But this particular
case.
Wait,
what? Rich people get treated differently than
the
rest
totally.
Of us? No idea.
But in this particular case, Alex is specifically, like the last episode, we talked about how he was just responding to a chain letter, basically.
Right.
And this one, he's responding to an article using World News Daily Report, satirical news website, as like, did you know that a week before Bilderberg, he got.
You know what's kind of sad? I wish I lived in a world where you could just get a shit ton of heart transplants and you'd be fine.
You can if you have tons and tons of money.
Yeah, I mean.
He did live to 101.
Yeah, but I mean more like he should have lived to 161. You know what I'm saying? Like he should have gotten every new heart.
Give it time. Medbed.
Medbed.
It's coming.
Fair enough.
Our boy Randy Kramer is going to get He's going to get that Kickstarter going.
I accept any and all medbed related information.
Yes. So let's get through the rest of this. But the point is, Alex is lying.
Yeah, of course.
Now, I'll give him that. He had some will, didn't he? But it was a will to hurt people. And he wanted to be at those tables of power. He wanted to hold on to this life as long as he could, but he didn't. You know where David Rockefeller is now?
France?
With other spirits like his.
Valhalla.
And no more blood to suck. Vampires.
Tibet?
In their eternal death. Rock. In their spiritual coffins.
Melbourne?
For eternity alone.
Melbourne. I hear the tone.
Cut off from God, that's hell.
That's Melbourne.
The lake of fire is a metaphor. All right, I said I'd go to your calls, and I did, but I've gone to a lot of them, but I'm going to go to Tristan, Jeff, Boheme, Devon, Clint, Lewis. I'll get to all those calls before the transmission ends. Paul Watts is coming up the 4th hour. But I've got to say this or we won't be able to fund ourselves. Plus, they're great products you need. Look, Jones sells vitamins and minerals and water filters and air filters and everything is good for you. Doesn't mean I'm the perfect person. It just means everything we bring you is the very best we can.
Great. Do you see the difference in
his voice?
You see the difference in affect?
His voice going from.
It's so performative.
You know where he is.
That guy's in hell.
He's cut off from God. Hey, we've got new sales on water filters. Everything is good for you.
I can do a better version of it, and it's this. It's like, look at this guy, dude. Rockefeller. He has all these Chinese arts. You know where he is now, that guy. Cut off from God. He's in hell. Everybody's trying to fucking say that I sell shit. Because it's defensive. Yeah. He gets really excited defensively. Like, everyone's like, I sell bullshit, but look, I sell water filters and vitamins.
Right, right, right.
And, I mean, it's not, it's so performative. It's nonsense. It's, to think that a normal human being would have that as, like, their path of experience, their path of how they want to rhetorically do a show or whatever.
Right, right,
is
right.
Nonsense. It's so fake. If you were, if, like, I often think about this. Like, if you and I
believe you.
If you and I were in Alex Jones's position,
uh-huh,
and we were doing a show where we were convinced that the globalists were trying to kill everybody.
Yes.
What we would do. Like, how would we behave
in
ourselves?
In a certain sense, we are doing that show. You just replace globalists with ultra wealthy.
No, because I really don't think that they are trying to kill us. I think they just don't care. You know what I mean?
That's a conversation that we could get into for hours.
It's a little more nuanced in terms of, like, I don't think that the billionaire class or the super wealthy.
The oligarchs?
Yes. I don't think that they have a vested interest in killing us necessarily. It's just that if we do, they don't care. And the things that keep us alive cost them lots of money. And they don't care about that. They want to take away those things. Now, if we're able to survive without them, they're not mad about that because we still get to work and prop up the organizations that they need to make money.
Right.
So the difference between our version of boogeymen and Alex's version of boogeymen, ours are real, and also we don't have these fictitious narratives about white genocide.
I would like credit for not engaging with this tangent and going on a 4.5-hour conversation about this. Because I know that annoys you.
We'll do it off air.
However, what I would like to say...
I've learned my lesson. I'm going to be supportive. Go, 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 go.
Somehow that's even more disconcerting than otherwise. Mm. I prefer it when you look into the camera and say that I'm the worst.
There's no win for me. I'm like Eeyore.
Oh,
like straight up Eeyore.
Oh my God. You fucking sympathy getting piece of shit.
No, make your point though.
Anyways, let's go into the 20 things that Dan thinks are reasonable conversation.
What do you
now, I do think that they are actively trying to kill us.
That's fair. I mean, you can make a good case for that. I was just expressing my position.
No, and I get that. That's kind of the, I think that is kind of the fundamental difference that we often have on so many different things is how much of it is murder versus how much of it is manslaughter.
Right.
I think that's the conversation we often wind up having.
No, I agree.
Because now
that I'm sitting in it a little bit,
yeah,
I start to distance my personal experience away and sort of like look at it in the bigger picture.
Right.
And the laissez-faire, I don't give a fuck kind of attitude of the rich, that some people can survive, others can't. And that might be a little bit of a bias that I have that's based in privilege.
Right.
Of my own life.
Right.
That people who are lower on the chain, it is a death sentence to them.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely straight up a death sentence to them. And so I guess there's only a semantic difference between wanting to kill you and not caring if you die.
Right.
Based on the actions that are
right.
Made. So you might actually be way more right.
Right. If regardless of whether or not there is an active desire to murder, you are murdering people.
Yeah.
And you are doing it with knowledge that people are going to die. Do you know what I'm saying?
For the sake of keeping
right.
your
no, if you
books in check.
If you're saying, hey, we need to cut Medicaid. You are saying that from the position of, yes, I know people will die because of this. I am saying we need to do it regardless.
The argument can never really be, does Medicaid work?
Right.
It can only be about the financial.
Yes, exactly.
Stuff.
Exactly.
It can never be about what does this provide?
Right. Obamacare. Yes. 30 million more people are on insurance. We should get rid of those millions of people. Now, admittedly, yes, people will die due to that. But financially speaking, it makes sense. You know, like that kind of situation.
But see, with that example, the thing I would step back to is like, then it's not necessarily killing people as much as it is putting them into bondage. It's putting them into wage slavery, bondage, and deep debt and shit like that, which is
right.
a death in life to some
right.
extent. But that's not killing them. It's more making them completely inert variables. And, you know, it's splitting hairs a tiny bit. But.
There is, but at the same time, I would much rather, like,
I'm not ready to jump into bed with Alex's narratives about the people that we don't like.
Yes.
I'm not ready to call them demonic and trying to murder all of us because I don't want to radicalize the people who listen to our show.
Right.
Like
I do.
I respect the hell out of the people who listen to us and we chat online.
Right.
And we interact, and I don't want there to be a moment where, like, they get some sort of dumbass idea.
You
in
don't
their
want
head.
Them to go to a fucking pizza shop and start shooting people.
Right, but at the same time, I want
them to go to a boardroom and start shooting people. Do not take that out of context.
You just said it in context. You should have said go to the boardroom and shit on the table or something
politically.
Like that. Politically.
Yes.
So, like, but the reason that I know where this episode is going to end, and that's why I'm being very specific about this.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that, like, I don't think that our audience should think of the people who are in charge and are really ruining a ton of stuff as demonic entities that want to kill you as much as they are very greedy.
Right.
And it is about accumulation of wealth and cutting people out of the equation.
That's
really more.
Yeah.
Cause that's a legitimate real world, motive.
Right.
That we've seen over and over again. We
right,
see
right,
it
right.
play out consistently.
Right.
We see almost every time there's some sort of like really successful thing. It's based on fraud.
Yeah.
You know, they're
yeah.
just within markets.
Well, fucking Enron.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or any Enron type thing.
What I see it as, and I feel like this is probably the most apt comparison that I can come up with. These people, like, in an old Western, you see somebody ride a horse to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to them, the horse is simply a way. A horse is simply the way to get there.
A means.
It doesn't matter that the horse dies at the end, because whatever it is they think they're doing is more important than the life of the horse.
Well, what we're talking about now is Kant's categorical imperative, basically.
Yes.
To some extent. We're talking about two things. One, the only thing that is good in the world is a good will.
Right.
The only thing that is good is doing things for the right reason.
Right.
And if you're acting out of bad faith and bad will, then anything you do is bad.
Right.
And I agree that a lot of this is that.
Right.
And we've lost track of that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And then the other implication from that, I believe it's Kant. I can't remember. It might be another philosopher. I apologize if that's the case. But the idea.
Dave from IT.
Yeah.
Once said.
The idea of treating someone as a means to an end as opposed to an end in and of themselves is always wrong. And I believe that is the case.
Yeah.
I believe that is true. If you just are treating someone with their autonomy and their individual experience as a means to get you something as opposed to being a human themselves,
yes.
then you're fucked.
Right.
And the system that we live in right now does both of those things. Yeah. They're acting in bad will.
Agreed.
And treating people as means to an end.
Agreed.
So there is a reason enough there to just be like, burn it down.
Of course. So, and the only question I have for you is, Dan, do you think humans have a soul?
Listen, theologians would tell you, there's a lot of ideas coming out of.
No, it is the question that I keep going back to. Does it, so when we started, the question continued.
A year ago?
It was constantly to me always like, is Alex stupid or evil? Mm-hmm. And as we've gone along, the question has become, does it matter? Like, does it matter if you are stupid
or
evil?
Your philosophical question has shifted.
Yeah. Because for me,
the question has also shifted.
Yeah.
And it's more, I know Alex is stupid. I know that.
Right.
It's more become to me, does he know what he's doing?
Right.
So to you.
So that's the question of stupid versus evil. If you're doing something stupid because you believe in it as a good thing.
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree because I've already established he's stupid.
Yes.
I know that full on. Just based on his inaccurate readings of texts.
Oh, he's fucking stupid. We can move past whatever.
That sort of stuff.
Whatever explanation you have for stupid, we have 12 months of podcast.
But what I mean
it.
Is that, like, that dichotomy is meaningless to me in that we started with that, stupid versus evil.
Yeah, yeah.
That dichotomy is meaningless because I know he's stupid. And the evil part now has become evil, like, knowingly and willingly or evil just incidentally.
Right.
And that part is still, that's still tough for me. I don't have evidence that he is full on evil.
Right.
But I do have evidence, and we have evidence. We've presented it over and over and over again, even in this episode with the Daria stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
Jesus Christ, Daria! Daria, you have to tell, it's like a
he's,
cop!
He's,
Daria, he's, you have to tell us if you're a Russian agent.
At best, he's in service of negative things.
Right.
As a fool.
Right.
But I still don't know if his evilness goes past abject greed and bigotry.
Yeah.
Which is still evil, but it's not evil in the bigger sense that, like, trying to bring down the country.
Right.
You know, cause that's what we're talking about.
Right.
That's the end goal. Like, the way he does his rhetoric and the way he brings his narratives into the world, the end result will be a Holocaust.
Yeah.
It, probably against Muslims.
His desire.
Not
necessarily his desire, but his rhetoric logically,
the end
based
goal.
On what we know of history, will lead to this point.
Yeah. It will lead to the putting in camps of Muslims.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will lead to a harsh crackdown on people who have liberal sensibilities.
If you're fighting against demons, you put them in ovens.
Right,
yeah.
Right. There's not that much wiggle room in terms of that.
Of course.
But I don't know why I'm trying to defend him against being evil.
You're
now.
Not defending him. I think what I'm understanding of what you're discussing is
I think he's scared how and
much,
greedy.
How
I think
much
he's
does
scared mo- and greedy.
How much does motivation change your opinions on how to deal with him?
Not
is that what
not
I understand?
At not at all. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I deal with him objectively as like what he says and what I gather from researching the narratives and and what he says. I deal with it objectively. We still give him credit for the things that he's right on.
True.
We're not like
it's been a long time since we've had to.
That's true.
It's been a long while. To me, but my change in philosophical position has come from like, well, on the last episode, or a recent episode, I posited the question, can you say that the world would not be a better place if all Republicans died this instant?
Right.
Right? So if Alex is stupid or evil, does it matter? The world would be better off without him.
Well,
do you know what I'm saying?
He's not a Republican.
But that's not the only
you're
reason
you're talking
that,
about the right
the
or
only,
whatever.
Yeah. The only reason that comes up in my mind is because I say it facetiously, like I definitely don't want our listeners killing anybody.
You say it as a thought experiment.
Yeah, and so if it is that thought experiment, does it matter? Does it matter what your motivation is behind what you're doing? The difference is murder versus manslaughter. Does it matter whether or not billionaires want to murder us or whether or not billionaires support things that will kill us? It doesn't matter to me because the issue is that we are going to die,
right,
regardless of how they feel about it.
I agree with you. And now the secondary problem becomes we have one political party that is actively supporting what you're talking about.
Right.
And we have another political party that is not doing as good a job as we need fighting against that.
Right.
And so we'll see what happens. Anyway, look, I don't know. I love this conversation.
We
but
chose the
this
side.
This podcast is going to end up being 6 hours long if we don't.
Good point.
Let's get back to it.
We're
movie
having,
sign.
We're having a classic Knowledge Fight 12 and a half hour episode. It is not a money bomb because we are just incapable of being quiet for that long.
But seriously, please donate to the show. If you've made it this far, I legitimately, I do need help.
Frankly, if you've made it this far, you owe us.
I do need help. Yeah, even just in terms of making rent this month.
Yeah.
Need help. Yeah. So please donate to the show.
Yep.
Freezingpoint.com. No, that, I don't have that
one. No,
website
you don't
anymore.
Have that one anymore.
Knowledgefight.com.
Knowledgefight.com.
Click the support the show button.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our ad pivot.
It's weird how, we produce a lot of content, and I think we would do it regardless of whether or not anybody gave us money at all.
I'd do it for nothing.
Yeah,
but
I'm pretty
appreciate
sure.
everyone who donates.
It would be nice.
More.
It would be nice if you became a policy wonk.
Yep. Anyway.
Just to justify our weird obsession.
Jordan.
Yes.
So now we get to the point of this episode where this is what we've been trying to get to all along.
Right.
Alex Jones, I mentioned this earlier. He has something that he wants to talk about, a news story.
Yes.
And he has been dancing around getting to it, much like he keeps avoiding going to calls.
Did he just find out Stalin died?
Oh, my God. He doesn't know yet. Don't
oh,
tell him.
No.
It's
okay.
like Santa Claus.
I'm sorry. I'm Don't sorry. I can't do it. Okay.
So... he has a news story out of a Dutch video company, Dutch TV.
Already, I believe him.
He talks about this in the sense that it is creeping Nazism.
Because of the Dutch.
Yes. And I don't know how to do this exactly. I'm just going to play this clip. It involves some fake crying.
Not because of the far-right rallies in Poland or the Austrian government having a suddenly far right turn to it.
No. It has nothing to do with that. I don't mean that facetiously. It has nothing to do with that.
It's the Dutch.
He actually has, I'll just break it down.
Okay.
He has a decent, starting point.
All right.
He loses
now it. Now I'm intrigued.
He loses it past, the point of analysis, but
wow.
He has a decent starting point. And it is that there is a, there's a video clip, spoiler alert, it's from 2016. It's over like a year old. But it's from a documentary that came out on Dutch television called,
DTV.
The Last Downer. And downer is a term that they use for Down syndrome, people who have Down syndrome, which that's not great.
That's not
great.
A good term.
I don't like it, but that's the Dutch. I'm not dealing with Dutch PC issues. That's not.
We're not the Dutch PC police.
No,
that's true.
That's true. That's not where we stake our claim.
We got a lot of other shit to get to.
I'd be thrilled if they didn't use that term, but
I'd be thrilled if the only problem that you and I could find to combat in this world is Dutch PC.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was a documentary called The Last Downer. And what it was a...
do not like you saying that, though.
Well, but here's the thing.
No, I just mean, like... hearing the words, the last downer.
Right.
In that context, not a huge fan. Continue, though.
In the Netherlands, I'm just reading a synopsis of this, because I couldn't find the full version of it. I tried really hard to find the full version of this documentary, and it's just not available on American internet.
Right. Like the movie starring Gary Oldman and Matthew McConaughey, Tiptoes.
And there's a
can't find it anymore.
There's a bunch of Louis Theroux documentaries I want to watch that you can't find, because I don't live in England.
Right.
It's not on American YouTube.
And Gary Oldman isn't in it.
In the Netherlands, a TV show revolving around the end of Down syndrome was recently aired on national television. The series that was titled The Last Downer explored what society loses if Down syndrome disappears. It talked about ethical, social, psychological consequences of having a child with Down syndrome. So the
focus... That's really interesting.
But do you understand?
I mean, that's really interesting. Yeah.
Do you understand that in the synopsis, the first thing it says, it explored what society loses.
Exactly.
If Down syndrome
disappears. That's why I'm saying that's a very interesting documentary topic of like, and what it is really is, an exploration of how many of those neuroatypical situations actually wind up contributing far more to society than what is publicized.
Yep.
Like, to what extent? And if you want, you can go back to biblical times. Like, how many prophets were people who had
autistic, exactly, or, whatever, yeah.
or who had seizures, or who were bipolar? Like, at what point do you look back at the relative weirdos of history who have influenced the way things have gone,
right.
and not just go that tracks with symptoms of what we call mental illness now.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is a medicine man but somebody who just believes in shit really hard?
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And
what is a seer but somebody who has grand mal seizures?
These are things that are difficult to wrestle with.
Right.
And before we get into any of this, because Alex is going to be very...
Yeah, I'm guessing that we're not going to be huge fans of what he says.
He's not good at this. But I've known a couple people who are friends who had Down syndrome over my life. And one of the things that I took away from that is that they are fucking people.
Oh, what? Wait, what?
They're people.
They're human beings.
Yeah, big time.
They're people.
Yeah, with issues, but at the same time, the same experience of life that everyone else has.
Right.
And one of the things that this is going to come into Alex's commentary pretty harsh. One of the things that I know from knowing people with Down syndrome and sort of looking into things a little bit, one of the biggest issues that people with Down syndrome have is that people look at them with diminished expectations.
Yes.
They look at them as infantilized. They look at them as being these... oh, so shucksy, innocent, whatever, and that's not who they are. They live their lives and maybe have developmental disabilities in learning or in motor function or whatever, but that doesn't define them.
In many ways,
or
you
they
can,
just have a physical deformity.
Right. Many ways, you can compare it to the idea of like, we're going to put somebody in vocational school to train to have life skills.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, this is how you clean a fucking you know, like that kind of a thing.
So I don't know what the full documentary was about.
Uh-huh.
Because, I told you, I can't find it.
Can't find it.
But I've watched the full clip that Alex has.
Because you can find that.
And
if Alex can find it... a four-year-old can
find it. It started to circulate on right-wing blogs a couple days ago. And so Alex picked up on it.
I am trepidatious.
Well, but like I said, this documentary came out in 2016. So it's over a year old.
Yeah.
And
it's already been covered by the assholes.
Right. So they just found this three-minute, one-minute clip. It's probably closer to 1 minute than three.
Yeah.
And Alex just decides he's going to launch off on his... his narratives about it. When I say that he has a decent jumping off point, it's that the idea that he's rallying against is reasonable to some extent. The idea of, I don't know.
Stop selling this. I'm interested now in what's going on.
No, because I need to defend myself a tiny bit before we get going. Because I said that.
Preemptive defense.
Well, it's just that, like, you get to a certain place with genetic screenings, in utero genetic screenings.
Okay.
Where you're able to tell that people have various diseases.
So we're getting into Ethan Hawke territory.
What does that mean?
It's a reference to the movie.
Before Sunrise?
No, it's
a great
not
movie.
A reference to Before Sunrise. It's what is it? Gattaca? Gattaca.
Yeah, there's some of those issues implied, like where does it end and that sort of thing.
Right.
Where I like, if you look into like genetic abnormalities, there are some that people are in pain for their entire lives.
Right.
There are genetic mutations that happen where people's skin is like tree branches.
Right.
And shit.
People in Kentucky have blue skin.
Tay-Sachs disease. Yeah. Like there are just super.
Not all people in Kentucky, but there is a family in Kentucky whose skin is blue.
Right. There are some things where through genetic mapping and genetic editing you could allow someone to have a real normal life as opposed to having tree bark.
Right. Designer genetics.
Or whatever.
Yes. Yeah,
I think that's a positive thing. I don't necessarily think the idea of aborting anybody who has Down syndrome is a positive thing. But if there's a way to edit genes in such a way that we figure out this is what makes you have Down syndrome, we'll
right.
fix that.
Right.
I don't think that's a negative thing.
There is a massive conversation that you and I can have about that.
You get towards eugenics, and where Alex Jones jumps
exactly.
off, where Alex jumps off from the discussion where it's like, this is going to lead to killing of the weak. I agree with him in that sense, but I don't agree with him in application or the real world. That's the only thing I wanted to say.
Here is the only opinion I have on eugenics. If at any point in time we discover a gene that makes you an asshole, I will immediately be like, oh, we can fix that gene. Eugenics is perfect.
Alex already thinks that exists, and that's why he's against this.
Up until that point, there's a lot of variables going on that I don't want to start fucking around with. But if we find a gene in Alex Jones, so we decode
He's oppositional
Alex's,
defiant.
We decode
he
Alex Jones' genome.
Himself.
We decode his genome. And
it's not
it's
genetic,
not,
it's based on upbringing.
And it's not Alex. And it's not Alex, it's everybody in that ilk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like, oh, if we just flip this switch, Alex Jones is not an asshole.
Go from up to down.
I'm in.
But
up until that point, I have a lot of questions and a lot of thoughts. And so long as they are theoretical, I'm far more interested in describing them.
I think it's pretty scary now, especially because we're on the vanguard a lot of this stuff.
Right.
And you and I are mentally ill people and have struggled with a lot of stuff
right.
from our genetics
right.
and upbringing. But a lot of those things have made us into the people that we are.
Right.
And it's sort of threatening on some way, the idea of editing genes. And then it's like, well, I wouldn't be the person that I am today.
Of course.
But at the same time, if I was someone who had a genetic condition that was painful all the time, and I lived a life that was just pain,
yeah.
I absolutely would be like, I really wish someone would have edited this.
Yeah.
My personality is not worth the fact that I've lived 10 years, 15 years of just pain and
right.
then died young.
Well, and the simplest way for me to relate to that is...
And I'm not talking about people with Down syndrome when I'm saying that. I'm talking about other conditions.
We're talking about just genetic conditions, period.
Yes.
For me, since I've been medicated, there will never be a day where I don't question, like, would I be more creative
right.
if I were unmedicated?
Mm-hmm.
That's just...
Well, you
that's
hear that
part
from a lot
of
comics.
That's part of being a bipolar person is just, like, to what extent can I say that my creativity is from my brain or from my brain's brokenness,
yeah,
you know,
and it's,
so there
it's
will
tough.
Never be an answer to that question.
It's impossible to unpack.
Exactly. So the idea of, once again, we go back to what is a seer but somebody with epilepsy?
Sure.
What is a, you know, all of those things?
Mm-hmm.
So if you edit that out,
and
what
I think,
do we have?
I honestly think...
Is neurodiversity as important as neurotypical is?
Neurodiversity is amazingly important.
Yeah.
And I think... I don't know. I can't speak to this because I can't find the entire documentary.
Right.
But I almost guarantee that that is kind of part of the point.
It has to be. Any reasonable
because,
thinking person believes this is a conversation, not an answer.
But also, why would the write-up of the documentary be what society loses?
Would lose. As opposed
like, why
to,
would that be the first thing that's brought up in the...
Other than it's sarcastic... As in,
oh, yeah.
As in, like, hey, what do we lose if we get rid of these guys?
You know the
like,
Dutch.
That kind of thing.
They're,
exactly.
They're dark, sartorial
you
sense
know,
of humor.
You know how the Dutch...
Yeah.
You know the Dutch?
They're notorious for their write-ups of TV programs...
Sarcasm.
...being dark.
Oh, man.
Darkly sarcastic, like a Steely Dan album.
Nothing the Dutch love more than sarcasm. The Dutch yeah. are the mountain goats of music.
Absolutely. So let's get to this. This first clip, Alex Jones just can't fucking handle getting to talking about the actual clip.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he handles
it. Of course.
That.
I want to go to more of your phone calls, and I need to, because I've got to play this clip before Paul Watson comes on. And the reason I didn't play at the start of the show is, quite frankly, I watched it this morning at about 5:30. I couldn't sleep. I got up.
I want to be very clear.
He sounds like he's going to cry. Yeah. I'm worried
about
Alex.
Oh, he's going to fake cry.
I'm worried about Alex. Is he okay, Dan? Is he okay?
He's going to fake cry. And I wish that I had a supercut of all the times he teases getting to this throughout the show and just never does. This is like right when Paul Joseph Watson is about to like take over. Yeah. We're getting close to the fourth hour. And he's like, I got to get this in. I got to fucking do it. I've been teasing it all show.
Right.
And I went online, I was looking at stuff, and I saw this put out by the Dutch government, and...
Oh. How did it make you feel?
It wasn't put out by the Dutch government.
It's so sick that I don't feel like I'm worthy to even describe how sick it is.
Not sure that tracks?
Just, I don't... I've got too much to say. I don't... You've got this weak, soft bureaucrat getting off... on making a Down syndrome man feel bad and feel worthless, like he should die. And it's all done real cutesy and fake and liberal by an effeminate, he's not even wrong to women, he's not effeminate, by a soft little beta male.
We're back to betas.
Boy, we're not, even him trying to defend the exploitation of people with Down syndrome.
Oh, it's going
to
be way worse.
Sounds like him... exploiting people with Down syndrome.
Oh, he is very, very aggressively.
He's but not good at this.
But I realize this now. You guys don't have the video in front of you, and we've just talked about what it is. There's a guy with Down syndrome and a guy who seems to be the host of the show. The guy who's the host of the show is a svelte-looking gentleman, and then they are the only clip that Alex plays. And it's the only clip you can find online. It's disseminated through right-wing blogs.
Of course.
It's this.
So you know it's true.
This svelte-looking cool, Alex describes him as liberal. I have no evidence that he is.
Liberal.
The guy with Down syndrome guy who are in office of a scientist. And the scientist is explaining to them how much it costs for society to care for people with Down syndrome as opposed to people who do not have it. That's the entire setup of the video.
Right, right, right.
And at no point...
So we're framing this in purely economic terms.
Well, in this small clip.
In this... No. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, this conversation is occurring purely within the realm of the documentary having the idea of...
Well, the documentary is like an hour long, I think.
But
and
that's...
it's 3 minutes of it.
But that's my point.
2 minutes of
That's my point. If your documentary says, what do we have to lose by getting rid of people with Down syndrome?
Right.
And you have one clip that is based on an economic argument, then it stands to reason that much of the rest of the documentary is about humanity.
I would assume so.
Right.
I mean, like, I know I've watched tons of documentaries about people in just various conditions in life.
Right.
Being Down syndrome, one of them.
Right.
And one of the things that always delights me so much is them being like, stop treating me like I'm a dick.
Yeah.
Like that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I always love... people having that soft bigotry of diminished expectations thrown in their face.
Yes.
I always love it when I see someone talk to someone with Down syndrome, be like, how old are you? And they're like, fuck off.
Right, right, right.
They recognize when they're being fucked with.
Right.
And this guy.
Well, I cannot recommend it enough, but read the book Neurotribes.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's very, very good.
The guy in the documentary, too, is clearly taking in the information that's being presented to him. And he's clearly part of the conversation. He's not being like, he's not treated like a dick. They're not saying we should kill you or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that is what Alex is going to present. I realized that I had to lay sort of a scene of what the visual is.
Totally get it.
So now let's get back to the analysis.
Who gets off on that he's better in his mind than this person with Down syndrome. If anybody knows those people, definitely are in touch with God and have a big soul. And I look at this
soulless guy
that looks deformed and ugly to me. The Down syndrome guy with his open face listening and giving honest answers, that sounds like God to me. And then the other guy sounds like somebody I want to strangle.
This is bad.
My soul says that's the enemy. And these people sit there making fun of this guy. And that's everything I'm talking about. I am so tired of it. how they take the innocence of somebody like this.
Alex is doing this thing, this infantilizing of people with Down syndrome. He's deep into that. But at the same time, they're not making fun of him. They're giving him information that is just based on statistics.
No,
it does cost a lot more for society to carry people with the need for help. And that's not wrong. That's not bad.
The thing about this is what is such a clear point of view on the right, which is that, and the way he's describing it, the Down syndrome person, whomever he may be, doesn't matter that he has Down syndrome. The point being, he is simple. He does not have a complex view
but
of
he's
the
so
world.
Innocent.
And that's the point.
He's so innocent.
By virtue of not knowing
he's like a child.
That is seeing God.
The globalists can't get to him.
The scientist, the person who describes this as a complex situation, wherein he says, okay, well, there are relative positives, there are relative negatives. We have to account for this. We have to account for that. The important part is figuring out what it is
that makes
the most sense, really.
I would imagine in the documentary, it's different scientists they talk to. This is an economic scientist. And then
even then, regardless of that, that's something that if you are a scientist, you should consider.
Mm-hmm.
Like no matter how, look, as far as the tax bill is concerned,
right?
When we discuss that, the thing that I consider constantly is the idea of the point of this is to destroy entitlement spending, right? Yep. It's to destroy Social Security, to destroy Medicare.
If we look at the track
Medicaid.
Records of the people pushing for it, it seems like that's what they're out for.
Now, I have to ask myself the question then, is that bad for me? Like, get rid of Medicare. Get rid of Social Security. Get rid of
Medicaid.
You
have a job.
I'm fine.
You're golden.
And who is covered by Social Security? Who is covered by Medicare? Who is covered by Medicaid?
Old people.
More than
disabled,
anyone else.
Minorities.
The elderly. Is it then a good idea to say that the elderly should take my money in order to just continue living?
Well, see,
because
now,
that is essentially, like, if you go by what Kurt Vonnegut himself said, you're getting into really fucked up territory. That's my point. The point is, if you are at all reasonable, you get into fucked up territory and you think about it.
Well, no.
And Alex Jones's point is never thinking about it the voice of God.
Here's why it's fucked up territory.
Yes.
Is because he's arguing that when socialism comes around, and they just are going to be able to be like, nah, you're too much of a burden. We're going to kill you.
Right.
Or whatever. It's like, that's kind of what's going to happen with capitalism.
Yeah.
The way that we're going.
Absolutely.
That is the direction that this tax bill takes.
Right.
You are not going to be hurt by it. I, at the end, probably won't be hurt by it either. I have enough of a net beneath me.
Right.
That's not really going to hurt me, but the people who are going to be hurt are the people that Alex pretends are going to be the victims of the socialist takeover.
Right.
And like, oh no, you're too much of a burden on society.
Right.
Like that sort of thing. Like, I think based on everything I have experienced in my life, the people on the left, it's easy to paint with a broad brush.
Right.
There are bad people on the left and gives a shit. But generally, the people that I have met on the left and within some socialist folk have no interest in getting rid of Down syndrome people.
No.
People with Down syndrome.
No.
That is not that's not on their agenda. Just because they're more expensive to have survive.
Right.
Doesn't mean kill them.
I think that's,
you know,
I think
why,
that's
you,
my,
you know,
I think
you know
that's
what it
why,
is?
I think
you know
that's
what,
what my point is.
No, I think I found what your point is.
Yes.
It's applying a capital.
Tell me what my point, no.
I think
just
it's,
kidding.
I think it's applying a capitalist mentality towards, democratic socialism. I think it's applying this mentality of you are too expensive, you must go.
Right.
That's a capitalist mentality.
Right.
When the system should be taking care of everybody.
Right.
And that is what I think we should be working towards.
Right. And I think
yes,
don't know
you
if,
are more
I don't
expensive,
know if I,
but who gives a shit?
I think that's kind of more my thought process, though, is at the same time, if you are not capable of considering, like, to me, the idea that I am aware that Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security not only do not benefit me,
no,
but in many cases contribute to me having less money.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, I am still capable of recognizing how they are far more beneficial to society as a whole, as opposed
good,
to
my
just myself, allows me to converse with both ideas.
I think we're going to get to what Alex is mad about that here in a little bit.
Right.
Because I think he doesn't want to be a part of society. But
and I think that's one of the biggest issues that we talk about.
Right.
Is that there is an idea of maybe at like legit,
it's that,
without question.
It's that Ayn Randian shit.
No, and if I go by everything that directly benefits me, like 100% directly benefits me, I should be a Republican, right? Like, I'm a straight white dude.
Yeah.
I am within the ages of 18 to 34.
You're gainfully employed.
I have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all
you're
of the...
You're heterosexually engaged.
All of the stuff that they do...
Not engaged to be married, but you're engaged with a woman.
Yeah. In all respects... What their policies do is affect me in the current tense.
Yes.
And if I was dumb, I would say that's the best way to go. The reality is that in the larger sum of things, that is a non-existent position. That will only benefit me for the next 5 years, and then it's going to fuck me over like everybody else. Like, that's my biggest issue.
It might not. It'll just fuck over everybody else, and that will end up fucking you over.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It's but you still personally may gain a little bit, but...
Well, it goes directly back to...
What do you gain when everyone else is in pain?
It goes directly back to trickle-down in economics and how it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
All right, fine.
Your idea of... Okay, you want to make money as a business, right? So if you produce something, you want people to buy it. At the same time, you want profit on what you produce. So you reduce your taxes, right? That winds up meaning that the people who buy it don't have as much money. So the people who buy it don't have as much money, and they can't buy it anymore. So it destroys you. But in the short term, you get a lot more money. If you get a lot of people who buy shit... to have more money. It's the difference between wealth and income. Yeah. Wealth is destructive. Income is fantastic.
Yes.
If you increase income,
work and labor,
everybody does great. If you increase wealth, a few people do great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the question with
there's
this,
the disconnect.
That's what this type of neurodiversity is about as well.
Yeah.
Sure. If you increase it, there's a very clear parallel between the two, and it frustrates me because it's a short-sighted view of things saying that it doesn't exist.
If there's a way to edit someone's genes when you know that they are going to be have Down syndrome,
right,
and make it so they don't have Down syndrome, good. You should do that. I think that is an ethical position.
That's an interesting thought.
But I don't think that if you find out that your kid is going to have Down syndrome and then you abort them, I don't think that necessarily is an ethical position.
That's an interesting question as well.
It's incredibly complicated because I don't think that, like, the reason that when I'm trying to pivot back towards the clip. But
no,
like,
I understand. I took us off on a way different tangent.
When I started this and talked about
to everyone who had no interest in that thought.
When I started this and talked about like how you and I are mentally ill, and a lot of it comes from our genetics, and it's just the card we were dealt in our life.
Right.
We have an ego stance about how like I wouldn't be who I was if I didn't have those struggles and what have you. But
right.
If we were born and didn't have those, probably pretty cool. Probably be pretty fine.
Because, who knows?
Because there wouldn't be the suicide attempts. There wouldn't be the years wasted of our lives. So
that's true.
There is that. And like, I don't really understand how my creativity has really been bolstered by those things.
If it has, or if it has, yeah, who knows?
I've probably just hurt a bunch of other people because of it.
Most likely.
So the idea that like, like neurodiversity is great, and it should exist at the
cost. Or at least we think so, you know?
It should exist more than it shouldn't in terms of killing all abnormal babies or whatever, if you want to call it babies, zygotes.
Right.
That
which is why we should kill Ethan Hawke. Anyways, continue.
I love Before Sunrise. I like most Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke is great. Ethan Hawke is great.
I've gotten a lot of shit for saying how much I love Ethan Hawke.
Training Day. Come on, man.
I don't know about that. So it becomes a very complicated conversation, I think, in terms of like what is technically possible and what is worth exploring. I don't think it's worth exploring aborting every person who has Down syndrome. I think it is worth exploring the idea of gene modification.
Right.
When you're not just because of Down syndrome folk, but because of the other mutations that can happen that will just make you destroyed for your life.
But then you and I get into the question of, is that or is that not killing everybody who has Down syndrome? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well,
if you take me, I'm a bipolar person.
I would kill you in a second.
Not a bad idea.
My life would be better. Imagine if we'd never met.
You would be married. You'd have two kids by now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, what were you saying?
No, I mean, if you remove bipolar syndrome from me, have you killed me? Mm-mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-mm. Like the point being,
sure,
I physically, the human being that I am is not dead. And yet at the same time, the human being that I am now is retroactively destroyed. It's like a time travel question.
I know. It's that what could have been also. Like, right. It's
proving a negative is what it is.
But that's the argument that's not worth having.
Right.
The argument that is worth having is about people with Down syndrome are not, they cost more to, keep alive.
To other human beings, yeah.
Yes. And that's not that bad.
Right.
That's not that bad. But I also think that their lives would probably be better if they hadn't been born with Down syndrome.
That's another good question.
But you know what?
Would their lives be better?
But you know what else? I don't think their lives are shit because they have Down syndrome.
Exactly.
Because they are living their lives. They have autonomy. They have perfect ability to love, to work, to exist. But, I mean, I don't know. It's so complicated.
Well, and then you get into the question of to what extent is not having Down syndrome detrimental to you?
So like, you're how arguing many, we should all have Down syndrome.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you be happier in, like, many people that I've known with Down syndrome find far more happiness out of simpler things than I do? Like, would I be a happier person? Would I be a more satisfied person?
I think you're buying into a little bit of the infantilizing
myth.
And
that's
there.
My issue, is that I am never certain what exactly, what mythology I am buying into in regards to a mental illness that I don't have.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's really complicated. And
it's really complicated. So let's solve it within this 7.5 hour long podcast.
From all the research I can do and all the myths I can sort of ingest and work through, first of all, people with Down syndrome are humans. And they are just like us.
All the people I know are pretty cool.
And then beyond that, I don't think that the left wants to kill them.
I feel like the entire conversation we've had has been about how killing them is a bad idea.
But at the same time,
ultimately.
But at the same time, the idea of
just
in utero
singling out any group for murder,
right?
Except for rich white Republicans,
but it's
a bad idea.
It's all a bad idea. But at the same time, the idea of in utero gene therapy that could possibly it's not even get rid of people who have Down syndrome, but there are other genetic deformities, and deformities even seems like a terrible word.
I know, right?
But there are those things that will make your life completely miserable. You will just be living, and it's not Down syndrome, folks.
Right.
But it's the same sort of thing. And so researching towards that doesn't seem bad to me.
Right.
But now when you apply it to like, oh, this person will be depressed, kill them.
Right.
Like, but.
Right.
We won't get
multiple sclerosis.
We won't.
Like just consider all of these different diseases that are pain.
Yeah.
You're otherwise.
Life of pain.
Yeah. You're otherwise, and yet at the same time,
do you deserve,
without being able to conquer that life of pain, are you capable of transcending beyond it? You know, it's like a whole fucking insanity.
I don't know. It's,
I don't know. Well, anyways, you should still eat genetically modified corn. The point being, it's still, okay.
We've spent a half hour not knowing which way to land on this. But I think at the same time, we've done more analysis than Alex is going to do about this.
Oh, in the history of his entire life.
Listen to this shit.
Okay.
And they piss all over it.
Oh, is he still they're liberal crying? Audience. Jesus.
That thinks it's all funny. When you're all going to be there, you're all, the cancer rates, you think they're bad now. They're only going, I mean, everybody thinks this is so funny. This is not funny. And if you sit there and start saying we're going to abort every Down syndrome child, then it's going to be everybody with what they say is a genetic disorder. And they already say being aggressive is mentally ill. They already say Donald Trump being big-headed and delivering on his promises and really believing in America is mental illness because they're mentally ill. They already sold out to evil. They already think it's crazy to have morals. They don't get the fact that that's the governing force that allows us to have a civilization. We're bigger killers than you dumbasses. We just have a governor. And we will kill you. Make no mistake. You're pushing it. And when we start killing you, I don't even like to go down that road. Because I don't want to become what you imagine you are. But I'll tell you this. You think you're going to kill little mentally retarded children? Oh, don't use the word retarded. Just kill them. See how political correctness works? You think you're going to do stuff like that and you're going to get away with something. You're going to feel powerful. You're going to spiritually waddle around in front of somebody who's got an extra chromosome and look down on them because you're such a big man. But I guarantee you have a miserable, horrible life, and you want to creep out creepily bring out your eugenics again after it got a big, fat, black eye under Herr Hitler, and you want to shove it down our throats because once they get everybody involved,
you know
in global health care and socialism, they go, well, we're paying for all these old people. We're paying for all these mentally retarded people. And I can't tell you how many old people I know that vote for higher taxes thinking they're getting a piece of it, and then when they get their house taken, they commit suicide. They're genetically sabotaging us right now with the GMO to make us all genetically falling apart, to then make us all have to go in for genetic engineering to even have kids. That's their admitted ultimate game plan.
We admitted it.
And then we're going to be replicants thinking we're having kids, and we're having replicants. They're already going, we're going to have a first child. They have embryos. They've frozen them. They're looking to implant them in surrogates. Five lesbians. And if you're against it, you're against lesbians.
That's
and we have the first baby with five
Cobra.
Daddies. It's
all
not a person.
Replicants.
But see, it's the whole LGBTQ whatever. It's not about men, women having sex, men having sex. That's just the beginning. Oh, if you accept men having sex with each other, which, you know, that's people, that's humans, then it's, oh, sex with your car is okay, or gouge your eyeballs out. We'll pay for it with taxes. And they call that an anti-gay rant. This is their deployed anti-human plan that I don't think comes from here. I think this must be like how they roll this out on other planets. You know, like the Exterminator, the Orkin Man just dropped by, and this is it. Hell, maybe even the Orkin Man gave us the Bible, because metaphysically he's got to give us a warning. Here's how I'm going to kill you. Then it's all happening. I mean, for the sadist out there, maybe that's what it is. I mean, I'm not saying that's what it is, but yeah, I see. Now you get it.
Yep. Maybe the Orkin Man gave us the Bible.
And now you get it.
The old question. Did the Orkin Man give us the Bible, Dan?
Old Hickory.
Dan, the ages-old question.
Old salt.
Oh.
The old guy.
It's
old Orkin man.
It's so discouraging to me for us to have a 25-minute tangent where we're discussing like, oh, you know, there's this positive, there's this negative, there's this, and then Alex Jones comes back in with, the Orkin man gave us the Bible. Like, fucking, all right, dude.
And then at the end, as he's going out to commercial, he's like, now you get it.
Now you get it.
What?
All right.
What?
There we go.
Now I get what?
All right. All right. I can see why your show is more popular than ours.
Certainly. But I mean, to like give Alex a little bit of credit, I don't think we found a conclusion.
I don't think there's a.
There isn't a conclusion.
There's no conclusion to draw that is not in some way utilitarian. You
yes.
know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like our conversation ultimately wound up with what's more useful or what's better as opposed to some sort of metaphysical ideal.
No, I think my absolute conclusion is that if you are
God is real and Satan is behind us.
I wasn't going to go that route.
Oh, you weren't?
No, I was going to go the route of if you are going to be born and your life is going to be a complete disaster because of your genetic makeup, which is not your fault, and gene editing is possible and they can fix that, do it. Doesn't seem that controversial. That's my position.
Right.
I think that people born with Down syndrome probably have a fine position with having their lives be what they are, and I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that they probably would be better off if they had been born not having Down syndrome. I think that might be slightly controversial. And I want to be very clear. What I'm saying is not discounting their life as it is.
Yeah.
I'm saying that their life, had it not been the case, would be better.
Right.
In as much as, like I've related, you and I.
Right.
Had we not had the predisposition genetically towards depression, mental illness.
Yeah.
Our lives would be better. Now.
The next question, though, becomes, if there are people making that decision, parents, are they going to be making a decision that is best for their kid's life or best for their life? And so that's where we get into a different ethical circumstance.
Well, that's a completely different argument you know? Than Alex is going to have.
Exactly. Exactly. We have a very interesting argument about something, well, and Alex is like, you know what that's like? It's like fucking cars. Like, okay, god damn it.
Here's where I would say, like, I think that parents should never view their children as extensions of themselves. I don't think that it should be like, this is a part of me necessarily.
Which I think Alex would disagree with,
right.
100%.
Of course, because his ancestors are with him still and
exactly.
all that.
Exactly.
Race memory and
right.
shit.
Right.
But I would say that if a parent, like I believe this in terms of just like abortion period, like if you are not able to care for a child, then you shouldn't have them.
Right.
Like if it comes down to it and you're an adult and you're able to care for a child who is just of normal capacity and you find out that they have Down
syndrome.
And
then we get into what normal and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Well, but normal is this weird fucked up thing.
Right.
Alex yells about it because in the clip with the Down syndrome gentleman, I keep getting mad at myself. They say Down syndrome gentleman.
Yeah,
guy with
right?
Down syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah. But they're like, what does a normal person cost? And Alex is like, fuck you, normal? And
yeah.
like, well, how many times have you called gay and trans people not
yeah.
normal? So
yeah.
like,
get
well, off that.
But then the question then becomes, you know, if you want to go down that road, trans people cost at this current time more to society than somebody who's raised in a two-parent household and so on and so forth.
I don't.
Now, is that because they're trans? No. It's because of systemic, you know, prejudices within society that push them out into a level of homelessness and so on and so forth that wind up forcing them to cost more. So then your utilitarian argument your utilitarian argument goes back further towards why a society so prejudiced against them. Well, you know, like it keeps going back and back.
I don't think that this, I agree with you to some extent, but I don't think this works because of this is all eugenics shit.
Right. And exactly.
And that isn't something necessarily, I don't think at this point you can tell from genes.
Right.
And so like right. in utero, this is all about like trying to get rid of unfavorable entities.
Right.
In utero.
Right. You and I are having a very interesting eugenics conversation. And unfortunately, boy, eugenics is a rough thing to have a conversation about.
I'm very worried that
I'm not a huge fan of any eugenics conversation.
I'm not either, but I'm very worried.
I know, right?
I'm very worried that I'm sounding like I am anti people with Down syndrome.
No, of course
not. And I'm not.
I think it's just one of those things about.
There are so many things.
Right.
That make up for the idea of, hey, it's expensive to keep you alive.
Right.
Of
course!
In the same way that with people who are depressed, the same way with people who are borderline personality.
Right.
Like, what you were bringing up about neurodiversity is absolutely true in terms of that stuff. And it, when I have said already, this is where I'm getting really fucked up.
No, it's fine.
Is the idea that I might be projecting a tiny bit, and that's possible. But when I say that they think that, like, my personality is based on the experience I've had, I wouldn't want to not have this life. That's based on only living the life they have.
Right.
And that isn't saying, fuck you, you're wrong to have the life you have. It's more, no one wants this life. No one wants to be depressed. No one wants to be borderline.
No, right?
You don't want to be bipolar.
No, I've never wanted to spend 2 weeks wishing for death. And
but you're thankful for the existence you've had.
A week fucking recovering from trying to kill myself. Like, I've never wanted that.
But at the same time, it's created who you are.
Exactly.
It's that rough, incredibly difficult space that I'm admittedly projecting our experiences of mental illness onto people with Down syndrome. And I'm not sure that's fair. I'm not sure. I might be wrong.
Of course not.
I might be wrong.
No.
But
I think our ultimate conversation,
we all would love to be born normal.
At the same time, would we? We've met plenty of normal people. They kind of suck.
They're a little boring.
I know, right?
I wish I was a little more normal.
A little more normal.
Not too much, not all the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
No, I don't know. I think ultimately our conversation boils down to, I don't know the answer. I'm interested to know why I don't know the answer. I think there's a lot of interesting things about neurodiversity. And at the end of the day, I do not feel like I have any qualifications to make a decision.
Nope.
For anyone else.
And I strongly don't think this documentary was about eugenics.
No, of course not.
I think it was about 3 minutes that hold on.
And here's the ultimate answer here, right? If you are parents, even more so, if you're a mother and you make a decision about what's in your goddamn body, I have no judgment on you.
Cosine.
You have your ability to make a decision, and were I to tell you what is the best or et cetera, I'm in the wrong.
Totally.
So if you want to raise a child who has Down syndrome, and if you want to deal with the fact that maybe the child that you raised with Down syndrome resents you for raising them with Down syndrome, or if you want to deal with the child that resents you for raising them normally, or if you want to deal with the child who resents you for raising them whatever way, that's your choice. And if you don't want to do that, that's your choice, and so on and so forth.
And
I am not going to decide for anyone else
and
how they should live.
And further, the recognition that it might cost you more is not at all an abdication of, like, or an indication that you should kill all of them.
Absolutely not. Or the idea that you should, if you were to give them up for adoption, and then the society at large should not have any responsibility towards them. Like, it all comes down to this weird confluence of, it is irresponsible for you and I to make that decision for society at large.
I think it's irresponsible for most people, like, or even governing bodies or
exactly.
Anything. But hey, Jordan, you're fucked up if you think that there isn't a whole bunch more of Alex trying to wrestle with this.
No, I think I'm correct. You're fucked up if you think there isn't a whole bunch more of you and I trying to wrestle with this.
This is degrading.
Damn it. Why did you take us from such a happy place to this?
This next clip is degrading, but it's fun in as much as we really get to see how Alex Jones can't read in real time.
Okay.
See, I don't want to be in your communist system where everything I do is controlled because I'm connected to somebody else. I want my own house, my own life, my own children, my own wife. They've got me. We do what we want. We're free. Got that? That's why collectivism is a unmitigated nightmare.
Society.
I want to go to your calls, but right now let's go to just a clip of this. It's in Dutch. So I will, obviously read the words that are below on the screen. Here it is.
Het heeft een primeur.
Het Rijksinstituut
van Dutch National Institute of Public Health, the environmental request, the latest downer circulated what the cost of the care for the downer is. They call it downer. And that has not happened. Today, Sjoerd will hear the result. If you want to know what the spelling is on the advantage of the person, this is too fast. Yes, for sure, I want to know. Well, then you have to take this number and divide it with that number.
Where's the guy?
And again, they ask him before. They go, do you know how much you cost? And he shows them he costs way more. And see, he just learns he's a bad person. You're bad because, you know, they have to take care of you.
That works.
Because you got rid of the family. You created socialism. So now you have to take care of him. So you want him dead because you're not his daddy. So he cost us as a society 48,000 euros per year. This is a considerable amount, but it's high compared to normal persons. Oh, they call them normal. You're not normal. See, but it's okay because liberals can call somebody they want to kill not normal. You can calculate that by taking a big number from 90 million. And divide that amount by the number of citizens in the Netherlands. There are approximately 17 million. That will give you approximately about 5,000 euros per person a year.
Dus dan zou je kunnen zeggen dat Sjoerd eigenlijk 10 keer zo duur.
So Alex isn't keeping up with the subtitles.
No.
But what's happened is this guy is a chalkboard and he has laid out the cost to society in terms of healthcare. Right. It costs 48,000 euros a year.
They've freakonomics'd that whole thing.
It costs 48,000 euros a year to keep someone alive who has Down syndrome versus 5,000 euros a year for someone who is just able-bodied.
Which is a suspect statistic to begin
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's clunky on its core. And, right. This, this chalkboard analysis is not super, it's not like, that Matt Damon movie.
The Adjustment
Goodwill
Bureau?
Goodwill Hunting Bureau.
The Goodwill Hunting Bureau?
Yeah. Oh shit. Get back to the clip.
No, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, and old people too. You gotta take care of them.
Die uitgaven zijn inderdaad 10 keer zo hoog.
And blind people.
Je bent een dure jongen, Sjoerd.
Ja. Dat bedoelt echt,
You're a very valuable man. But they make fun of him.
Hebben wij nou in Nederland nog een groep ook die,
hit pause. See, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not making threats. I just, when I watch this, I want to kick both of those smart ass piles of crap's asses when I watch something like this. Like,
he's an equal opportunity.
The poor Down syndrome guy doesn't have the ego. He doesn't, for whatever reason, he doesn't have the chicken, you know what? Crap dimension behavior. So he's just taking it as his, these are his friends. He's like, I am valuable. Wow. And they're sitting there making fun of him going, you're very valuable, my friend.
I want to be clear. They're not
it
making
seems
fun
as
of
though,
him.
It seems as though the person in question is, first of all, aware of what they're talking about and how it is a joke.
No, and, it's not even a joke.
Well, not a joke. No, I mean more like
it's
how,
part of a bigger picture.
How he's interacting with it as such that he understands what they're talking about.
Yes.
And gets why it is that would be a situation in question.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's
they're not ridiculing him.
Nope.
They're like,
nope.
Hey, think about this. And he's like, I can't think about that. And they're like, okay, cool.
The exchange is, you're a pretty valuable person. And he's like, I had no idea.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Right.
And I also think that he was along, I have to assume, in this documentary, he's along for the other parts of it that aren't being covered by right-wing media.
Yeah.
And they're not making fun of him.
Of course.
If you watch the video, they're not making fun of him.
Of course not.
What
kind of cruel fucking person would make a documentary where they were making fun of
him? Hey, let's bring a Down syndrome person along and just shit on them.
Yeah, if that were the case.
We want you dead.
If that were the case, that stops being a left or right issue and starts being into a, what the fuck kind of monster would do this issue?
Guess what? We would have known about that when it came out a year ago.
I know, right?
As opposed to finding out about it later.
Like, maybe the Dutch media would have gone fucking insane over this documentary.
Yeah, instead of Alex, really needing to fill time on his show.
Exactly.
My friend. They didn't say, hey, you're a piece of crap. We don't want to pay for you. At least you can be honest. No, you look at him and you make fun of him on Dutch television.
Are you crying again?
Every one of us has what they call genetic disorders. Every one of us. This is the perfect system to tell us how we're all equal and can put Drano on our eyes or cut our genitals off and have taxpayers pay for it. And it's all beautiful. Don't criticize anybody. But we're going to kill the old people, the case for killing granny, cover of Newsweek. And we're going to kill people with genetic disorders because we're liberal. And we're going to have suicide nets at Apple factories and Foxconn in China. And we're going to have slave labor at Amazon. But it's all okay because we're liberal. And then you've got a bunch of weird people that have been domesticated following the left. And now they don't even, they admit they're just a power cult. They're like, we're not getting anything. We want to get stuff. We've been told if we take you over, we get stuff. As if you idiots are going to get anything once they blow the free market. They want a monopoly. They want a centralized technocracy run by an AI supercomputer they believe is going to hook them in and make them gods. This is a cult. We need to stop it. If we don't take care of the Down syndrome people, no one's going to be taken care of.
I feel like an AI would take better care of the Down syndrome people than Alex would.
I agree. And
right?
And here's the other piece I want to put into play right about now. Who is going to take care of them? Who?
You and I.
Social programs.
Yep.
So what is he advocating for?
Well, he wants social programs to take care of them, but he also wants to remove any and all funding for social programs.
I want none of my money going towards all this stuff, but I want
right, but
money.
I want society to take care of them. It makes perfect sense.
He's so convoluted in this bullshit. They were like, I recognize my slight bias in thinking that everyone would be better with not having whatever ailments they have.
I've heard of that.
But at the same time, I also think, you know, take care of everybody. I love it. It's great.
I don't know. It's the central.
How fucking stupid is this?
It's the central dichotomy.
How fucking stupid and convoluted is this?
It's every argument that you've seen in a Republican debate ever.
Right.
Which is, no, we need to take care of the elderly. We need to take care of these people who are homeless. We need to take care of them. Now, admittedly, we need to cut spending and remove any funding to take care of those people, but we do need to take care of
them. You have to trigger certain bases in terms of like, hey, be afraid about this thing, but also like, let's not fucking pay for it.
Of course.
Don't pay for it.
No. You don't want your taxes raised. Now, admittedly, if those taxes were raised, we would have more money to take care of the people who you want taken care of.
He's engaged in what is essentially a half-hour rant.
Right.
About how, like, everyone wants these Down syndrome people gone. And we realize, and statistics do back this up, they are much more expensive.
Right.
Just from healthcare costs.
Dude, I want
to. And that's not negative. That's not bad.
Every night, I walk home past two or three homeless people.
Sure.
I can't afford to give them dollars every time.
No, and that would help.
But if everybody paid a dollar more in their taxes, we would have more dollars to take care of homeless people.
Because you know why? If everyone paid dollars more in their taxes, all that money could go to a shelter.
Yep.
As opposed to your dollar going towards maybe a sandwich.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yep.
Big picture, everyone coming together could help more than individualistic.
Man, that sure sounds like communism or socialism or any of those evil things.
Which is the answer.
It seems like socialism is maybe the way to go.
And Alex is kind of advocating for that.
If you removed it from the oligarchical issues that we have with communism and have had for the millionth time, communism is an economic system, not a government system.
Nope. That's authoritarianism and totalitarianism.
Ugh.
But be that as it may, Alex is advocating essentially for taking care of people who can't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It is
great. But he doesn't realize that it's counter to everything he...
It requires social
programs.
Yeah.
We create economies about love. They didn't used to have hospitals until 1,000 years ago. They created the hospitalers.
Great.
That's not how that works.
It created whole markets. Civilization is about taking care of people. Civilization, but notice the very groups telling you about social safety nets, like Bill Gates, are always the ones saying, if we kill this old lady and don't give her the last year of care, we can hire 10 teachers. Sure, you don't make her stay alive. See, there's some truth to it, but you don't kill her and don't give her health care because she no longer, the bioethics board decided, helps society. So back that up 20 seconds.
Death panel!
But even in what he's saying, it's right in line with his philosophies, this idea of withholding care.
Right.
Like, he's saying that, like, oh, they don't kill them. They just don't keep them alive, which is a thin line. But it's like, you would want that.
You say that that's the best idea to go with.
You don't give a shit that people who can't afford care can't get care.
If you say what
so
he just said.
What is he doing?
And support the Republican tax bill, you're dumb or you're evil. Either way, go fuck yourself. You should die.
It's very unclear.
Here's the Down syndrome. He's not a human, according to them, the normal people. He's the downer. You're a downer. Here in the Netherlands, you dot. That's Russian. Dot. Yavol. Yes.
That was more.
Yavol. You are a downer. You are not normal. You cost us much more. People then pay to take care of you. That's having an economy about humans. They want to get rid of an economy of humans.
Way.
Just like nobody bags your groceries. Nobody cleans the table at the restaurant because, oh, you just don't have that. You throw it away. It's all about no hospitality. No
what?
Realness, and you're getting rid of a world run by humans.
Huh?
Also, recently, I believe the businesses can now take tips away from service employees. No big deal. No big deal.
Oh, now robots can run the store because nobody demands to have a human. Oh, see, the burger went down 10 cents. You're killing yourself thinking you're getting ahead.
You're killing us!
And they go, look, you're a very important person. But because both men are academic liberals, they can go,
fuck you!
He doesn't get it. And these are the very left that put the fluoride in your water, the cancer viruses in your vaccines.
Poisoning the well narrative.
They're just nasty people. And they love him because they can feel more superior. But I just see the innocence of this man.
Go
and he's there. Yes,
fuck
thank you.
Yourself.
I'm important.
Exploitative.
He doesn't get the sociopathic stuff. Somehow the Satanism transmission doesn't get to him. See, God gave us these people to show
fuck
us
you!
What someone only connected to God would look like, a child.
Fuck you.
The enemy transmission.
Fuck you.
These Down syndrome people are a child. They're children. They give us a view into what beautiful godlike abilities and existences would be. How fucking degrading is that? That's so fucking stupid.
True. And they're there laughing at this guy who doesn't really have total free will. He's
what?
What?
He doesn't have total free will. He just, I am important. And they're there telling him how he needs to die, how he should have been killed, how he should never have been born.
Didn't tell him that.
He's like, you're my friends. You're my friends. No, they're not your friends. They're cowardly wolves that I swear we're going to get these people because they want all of us. You need to know that.
Logically, you're on God, their please. Team, you fucking idiot.
Oh. Well, let's continue. Go ahead and play the clip. I had not expected that. Is there another group of Netherlands that approached that amount? Back it up. Back it up, guys. 30 seconds. I want to play that part. But they go, you're a very important person. And he's like feeling good. They're telling you're a sack of crap. You're not normal. You're not a human. You're nobody. We got a whole show here about aborting every one of you. We want to kill you.
It's not what the show's about.
But they don't do it that way. It's all like Stewart and everybody else and Colbert. It's all cute and funny. And all the wannabes watch, all the followers, all the betas watch and think, I get ahead being a psychopath. Beta. I get ahead being a piece of crap. Go ahead and play the clip.
It's 40,000 euro per year.
So you cost society 48,000 euros. Wow. That's a considerable amount, but it's high when compared to normal persons.
Yeah,
you're not normal.
Normale persoon.
Nou, dat kun je ook hier.
Well, you can calculate that by taking the big number to 90 billion.
Ja.
En dan ga je dat delen door alle inwoners van Nederland.
And divide that amount with the number of citizens of Netherlands.
Zo'n 17 miljoen.
And that approximately 17 million, you will give me approximately about 5,000 euros per person a year.
Dus dan zou je kunnen zeggen dat dat.
You just say that he is almost 10 times as expensive as others.
Dat wij dat zijn.
Die uitgaven zijn inderdaad.
Those expenses are indeed 10 times higher.
Met een dure jongen, Sjoerd.
Yeah.
You're a valuable man. I'd not expected that. I'm somebody. They're like literally talking about killing him right there.
Ook een beetje richting dat bedrag.
I'll be back and take your calls, and Paul Watson will take over. God will deliver vengeance to those people. Oh, man. Stop with the little children. We'll be back.
He's losing it there at the end. So now we've gone through the hardest part of the show, which is that I had like 14 minutes of his Down syndrome analysis that we've turned into maybe 40 minutes.
He said analysis, which is frustrating to me.
Not analysis. What do you want to say on the other side of this? I think we've said our piece.
I think we've made it clear where we stand, and I think Alex has made it clear that if anybody should be killed, it's him.
And he's lying the entire time through this.
It's him. It's him.
He's using people with Down syndrome as a
no,
prop.
He's
propping.
I know. It's so
degrading.
It's so amazing.
The innocence of a child.
He is, it's like he's grabbing this magical. I don't know. All I can think of while I hear him say this bullshit is, you don't care.
He doesn't. No.
Like,
of course
why
not.
Are you talking about?
You know
this?
Why he doesn't care? This documentary came out a year ago.
Well, not just that, but like even if the doc came out yesterday,
right?
He doesn't care about those people.
Nope.
It's just like every time every time we've talked about mass shootings, mm-hmm. The first thought he has is, how can I use this?
And
there's no he's
let's get
not
back to let's get back
once
to, let's get
said
let's get back to mass shootings for a second.
Even the bullshit that shitty Republicans say, which is like,
no, think about mass shootings.
Our hopes and prayers go out to you. He's never said that.
Think about mass
he's
shootings.
Never even done the slightest bit.
Think about mass shootings. So like he believes, like even go back before mass shootings, he believes that the Oklahoma City bombing was fake and set up by the globalists.
Yeah.
He believes that the Waco situation was set up by the globalists.
Yep.
These are from the 90s. So, like, let's forget about the fact that he has just forgotten about all of the Sandy Hooks that he said is fake.
Or racism.
Or Las Vegas is fake, and the knockout game is the biggest problem in the world. Let's forget about that stuff. If you actually believed that any of these things was fake, prove one of them. Prove one of them, And then you have destroyed the entire world.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you prove any of it, then it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Oh, shit.
Right.
And it's not
the entire underpinning for society is torn apart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And hey, Alex, I'd like to offer you this challenge 3 hours into our dumbass podcast.
How long are we into this?
Prove the globalists exist.
Oh, I think
exist.
We got fired. We took too long.
All right. We're off air. Ah, shit. Prove the globalists
Paul Joseph
exist.
Watson took over for the fourth hour of this show.
And it's snarky and Islamophobic.
And he can go fucking die.
But he can't prove any of this stuff.
No,
so it's
not.
Always plate spinning. And that's why he's not still talking about the Las Vegas shooting. Because he would be. If you're like, oh, I can prove this. I can prove this.
Dude, if he could prove it, the only thing we would talk about is that fucking shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If
that's because
right
we're obsessed with reality.
If he was right, I'd be in.
Of course.
So now I want to give you one more clip, last clip, wherein I look, we've been talking about Down syndrome a bunch, and that's that to me is disgraceful on his part. But this last clip gets more into where I legitimately am now at the point where I think Alex Jones should be arrested.
Okay.
I'm done playing games with Alex based on this last clip because the rules about what you can and can't do in terms of broadcast are pretty clear. And Alex has crossed that line in this last clip from December 15th.
God,
Friday.
I almost don't even want to hear this.
He's crossed the line. It's over.
Yeah,
I don't want to kill weak people. I want to kill parasite thugs. That's who I want to kill.
Right.
And I'm ready.
They're pushing the Civil War.
Oh, I'll be honest. I'm ready. I'm done with these people. They want death. They want blood. If you want blood, you got it. Blood on the streets. Blood on the stage. Blood on your feet. You got it. I want innocence and I want justice, but I'm sick of their globalist Islam promoting all their anti-family crap. They're putting down little people that they're just bullies. Now watch those men on TV bullying that.
That's it. That's it.
You know, I say
he didn't
a lot
say
of,
politically.
I say a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And
you should go to prison too.
I'm pretty sure that it. Every single point of the shit that I've said, it's been very clear throughout my history. I am being full of shit, you know? Like, that's who I am.
Or you have me around to sort of talk you down and contextualize what you're saying.
No, I mean, not even just that. I don't really believe in that. Like, I can't bring myself to it. As much as maybe even I want to, I don't think it's the right way to do things.
Right.
Alex clearly does.
And for a long time, it's been unclear whether he believes in blood in the streets.
Yeah.
He's advocating right there for
straight
up murder of these globalists, which, as we know,
even in my worst fucking moments, I realize, like, this isn't the right way to do things.
No, and you notice
this isn't this. It's not going to help.
No, but for fun, let's listen to this clip one more time. Because, like, listen to the music kick in real hard as soon as he gets into the, like, let's kill everybody.
Oh, Buckley's on it.
Fun of him. He once said we need to both probably work out a little more. We're both gaining.
Oh, shit.
Wrong clip.
Yeah,
I don't want to kill weak people. I want to kill parasite thugs. That's who I want to kill.
Right.
And I'm ready.
They're pushing the Civil War.
Oh, I'll be honest. I'm ready. I'm done with these people. They want death. They want blood. If you want blood, you got it. Blood on the streets. Blood on the stage. Blood on your feet. You got it. I want innocence and I want justice, but I'm sick of their globalist Islam promoting all their anti-family crap. They're putting down
little people
that...
Turn it up faster, Buckley.
People that,
You're too slow.
The music kicked in as soon as he said, I want their Islam off the streets.
Yep.
Someone behind the scenes knows, like, this is going to rile people up.
Right, right.
Anyway, that's the end of the show. Alex Jones can go fuck himself.
Alex Jones, go fuck yourself.
That seems as good an exit as any. Anyway, we haven't listened to John Rappaport in a while. Also, I got to piss. So Rappaport, Alex Jones, both go fuck yourself.
Hey, if you want to follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight, we have a website, knowledgefight.com. We both, Dan writes content, I write content. We both put it up there.
We're on iTunes.
Go to iTunes. You can download our episode on iTunes. You can subscribe. You can leave a review. You can do whatever you want. Dan, there's a guy who is really fucking annoying, and Alex Jones can go fuck himself.
We miss him because he's so boring these days. John Rappaport, get more interesting. Go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you. Jesus loves Satan.